Blog Talk Radio.
Born at a party in a barn, with a guitar strapped across my arm. So I learned to play in a different style. Everybody knows that I'm hog wild. Well, I pick it high and I pick it low. Pick it with my teeth and pick it with my toe. You can hear me play for a country mile. Everybody knows that I'm hog wild. Yeah, everybody knows that I'm hog wild. Too long, me and them city folks couldn't get along. My mama said, you're a destined child. They all know you was born hog wild. So I traveled all over this land, and I found myself a backwoods band. You can hear us play for a country mile. Hog wild. Yeah, everybody knows that we're hog wild.
Get hog wild. Welcome to another episode of the Chris Chadwick Let's Talk Smoke Show. We are ready to let the smoke roll tonight. This show is brought to you by BarbecueSuperstars.com. When you get out on the web surfing, go to BarbecueSuperstars.com. Check it out. I guarantee you will find something there that you will want or something you need right there on BarbecueSuperstars.com. Man, just jacked up all up on Mountain Dew tonight, ready to rock and roll. Going to pop us a top here in a minute. That's what I'm talking about. It's time to sit back, kick back. Let's talk a little barbecue, because there's nothing better than some barbecue talk with some barbecue people. I'm telling you, the people, the passion, the products, that's what we talk about. That is Barbecue 101. We're going to talk it tonight and just enjoy ourselves. Kick rate show. I've got a few guests coming in this evening. Special guests. Can't wait to talk with them. We do have a caller already in queue, so I'm going to queue you in, and let's just get the show on the road. We're going to kick the tire, light the fire, and let the smoke roll right here, right now. caller 876. Who have we got? Welcome to the show.
Hello.
What's going on? How are you doing this evening? Yes.
It's Mark.
Mark, welcome to the show tonight. How are you doing, my friend?
Thank you. Thank you to have me, Chris. Well, I'm doing very, very fine. How are you?
Mark, I am great. I am great. Just excited to be here, be on the show.
That's very nice.
I'm telling you, don't worry about your accent, because if you can understand me, I can understand you, brother. Mark is from Jamaica. You're from Jamaica?
Yeah, well, I live in Jamaica, yeah.
Wonderful. And you have got a new product that I just got a couple of days ago. Hadn't tried it yet because I've just been so busy, but I'm ready to try it out. Tell everybody what kind of product you have right now and what's going on with that.
Well, we have product is called pimento wood. So we have pimento chips, pimento sticks, and pimento chunks. You can get pimento leaves, dry leaves. So they give it to very sharp and very specific flavor. You can use pimento wood for smoking, for barbecue. Even you have even electrical grill or gas grill. So you can use on the top of the grill, you can put pimento sticks, and you can rest meat on the top of the sticks. So when you marinate your meat, because in Jamaica it's very popular jerk meat, so it's a very spicy, very seasony, and it's a very, very, very nice. They came to Jamaica about 17th century, so it's a very unique flavor. The pimento wood, well, we have barbecue store, if you can go, you can find us on the Facebook. It's called Jamaica Pimento from Jamaica. So you can I can see Jerk Store. You can find that on the Facebook. So you will see this product. It's very cheap product, and you can use it for your cat trainer, for the basically for your family, whatever you want to use it.
Right.
There's two ways how to use it. Some use green one, some use dry one. So you can blend it with your favorite. For example, if you use oak or apple or cherry, doesn't matter, it's okay. You can mix them up. So you can use your coal as whatever you use it from your favorite tree, but on the top of the grill you will rest sticks, or you can mix sticks and the rest beside chips. How it's you doing? When you receive product for us, it will be dry wood, but inside they have still flavor. So basically you fill up bucket with the water. We're doing, like, for example, I use water and maybe 2 bottles of beer. Right?
Right.
So
right.
You soak it wood there about maybe 2-3 hours. Then you drill it small holes in the sticks. Why are you doing? Because when you start to expose the fire, so the flavor will come out from these small holes. So you fire at your coal, wait until temperature will be hot enough, and then you rest sticks on the top of the grill, and then over you put your meat. Besides, you can use sticks, chips. You can rest them in the foil and leaves as well. So when this foil become hot, so the basically flavor start to come up. So you cover your grill and barbecue and wait. It depends how much meat you, some people say, how much, like, okay, if I buy it, for example, like 22 pounds from you, how long it will last? But basically 22 pounds will be about on 50 or 40 barbecue, because you don't burn your sticks all the way, so you leave it.
Right,
if your stick don't burn all the way, you can use again and again until all the way will be burned. So it's a very unique, and this is street growing only in Jamaica. Right?
That really sounds good. Yes.
Pardon me, Chris?
Come on. That's fine. Keep going.
Well, the price is basically very decent. It's just we're doing promotion right now, special promotion. If you buy 22 pounds of pimento wood, we give it to you additional 44 pounds free. Just pay shipping to U.S. for each 22 pounds. It costs $45 just shipping as a normal ground shipping. So basically, you can get 66 pounds plus 22 pounds and plus cost of the product, but 44 pounds you get for free, just shipping. So it's a special promotion because now it's a kind of Christmas, people would like to do something. So it will be all the way up to 1st of January, we're doing special. So if they can go, you can go on our store on the website, you can go look, and you will have jerk seasoning, we have hot pepper, we have anything, the stuff for your to make it your own jerk. And then we put for your package and send to you. Basically, it's very, very simple. And by the way, before you even buy it from us, you can check all internet, and we guarantee you do not find nowhere even near prices for pimento wood like we sell it.
Right. Well, you know, this is going to be an awesome experience. I can't wait to try mine. Something you said just a moment ago: drill small holes in your sticks. You know, that makes a lot of sense. I never thought about that.
And Chris,
scale. Yes.
When you drill it, you do not use regular bit. Use the titanium bit because this is very, very hard wood. It's a super hard wood.
Okay.
And
so this is an extra hard wood. Okay.
Yeah, and when you burn them, they give it to a very hot temperature. They make it very, very hot barbecue. And it's a very, very spicy, so you don't overdo it. So when you marinate, somebody would like to. By the way, we're very, very glad the jerk recipes spray around the world so nicely because we have, you can believe it, we have from Australia, we have Indonesia people, we have Canada, love this. In U.S. we have lots of people, and it's just jerk this spray very, very fast, and we're glad it. So, but the key is there too as well. To make it meat more juicy, you don't marinate less than about 36 hours. So you put your meat, you marinate them. Somebody asked me, can I use jerk seasoning? I can use jerk dry rub. It doesn't matter because what I do, it, for example, I marinate, but I don't make it so strong. So I put them in the bag and I put them in the fridge for almost 3 days.
Right.
Then when I'm ready, so what I'm doing, I'm clean up. So because everything is sucked inside meat, so everything clean up, I put dry rub. So when I put dry rub, then I put on the smoking. So basically, you don't make it so fast, just make it slow. So your meat becomes juicy. They're not dry, otherwise everything will be just hot, just suck it all moisture from there and the meat become dry. So this is how lots of keys is marinate with the time. And another now to what we people ask us, okay, when you mix it, for example, when you mix it with the wood, what is the flavor? Well, in Jamaica, very popular mix with the sweet wood. It's the old jerk centers what we have, and they mix it with the sweet wood because pimento, first of all, it's not so easy to find it, and second, it's very hard to find long sticks straight because the pimento tree is very, very bendful, so it's so much bends. And when you mix it with a different flavor, any flavor what you like, for example, sometimes when you're doing lots of kids involved, right? So we don't do so much spices. So we use tangerine, for example, right? Sometimes we can use star fruit. You know, so basically you use different tree to make it a little bit sour, a little bit sweetie. Depends what you use and who will be eat. You know, like most of the time, kids they don't like so much pork, they love chicken. You know what I mean? So for them, we kind of prepare more sweetie. And we use wood mixed with the pimento. So it's accept to people what I'm suggest, if they can buy it, and they can try it. So they can get the wood and try with different wood. We have some problems with some people in the beginning, like they buy it from us wood, and they storage it somewhere in a dark place and the moist place. So the moist has become. And then they ask how I can clean it. It's okay, because once you just take the brush and just brush it, put a little fire and just dry it, and that's it. It will be gone. So like a normal wood, you keep in a dry place, and where is the ventilation from the air? That's it. And this is wood supposed to be cut in a special time when it's after when a full moon, because otherwise chichi will be attack wood in about maybe 3-4 months, the incense start to be there. So this wood supposed to be cut in a special time.
Right. So the preparation and getting this wood ready, there's a lot of things to go with that. You know, that's as far as how things are done here in the States, you know, certain times you pick, certain times you do, just like this wood. And this wood, I'm sure, has a distinctive deep flavor to it. The color of the smoke, I'm sure it's probably going to be a dark, heavier smoke since this is a hardwood. I'm just ready to try it. I'm planning on using some of mine this weekend. And
you will show in the Facebook how they look like.
I'm going to.
We can smell it through the Facebook page. We can smell it.
That's right. Yeah, I'm going to soak mine in some Coors Light. I'm going to hydrate mine in some Coors Light. I'm going to drill some holes in that bad stuff and get that fire just right. And I'm going to smoke with that because I'm smoking constantly. And I just can't wait to try it. This pimento, you know, I don't even know what to expect, what type of flavor to expect out of it. Now, I'm right here on your store page. That is pimento from Jamaica, .wix.com. That's correct, isn't it? .wix.com. And also you can...
In the Facebook, if they will go Jamaica, pimento from Jamaica, they have lots of recipes, different jerk recipes, jerk pork, jerk chicken, steak, pasta, everything. Lots of different recipes, and how to use wood as well.
Right. Well, yeah, a lot of information, tons of information right there on your Facebook page, pimento from Jamaica, and... Mark, I'm just excited to try this out. I just can't wait. And I'm looking at your store right here. It looks like you've got some several different jerk seasonings, some Jamaican seasoning salts. That sounds really interesting. I'm a big saltaholic anyhow, so I love salt.
You too?
You know, yes. I smoke my own salt. You know, I take salt and I smoke it with different flavors, whether it's cherry, whether it's apple, whether it's hickory.
Mm-hmm.
Pecan, I like to smoke my salt. And, that sounds really good. I'm just really excited about having you on the show. Thanks for calling in and being with us.
Thank you so much, Chris, to have me. Thank you so
you're
much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And I'm excited about this. You know, hopefully this, you know, we always have several listeners. Listeners have several callers during the show. And check this out, because I know this is going to be some exciting stuff, some definite different flavors that I'm sure I've never had before, and I love culture, and I love different flavors, and I'm up for that. I mean, I can't wait to try it out. Really excited about it. But your store looks like you've got several different style wood products right there, from the chunk wood, the sticks, the chip, the pimento leaves, several different spices, jerk spices. You know, that those are all right there on your website. That's pimento from Jamaica.wix.com. So I'm going to post that a little later on my Facebook page. And anytime you want to post anything on my page, just feel free to. But I'm excited about trying this out. I'm really ready to. I'm going to light the fire this weekend, and I'm going to cook for myself this weekend, not for everybody else, but
well,
for myself.
I wish you good luck and enjoy, and all family enjoy.
Man, we're going to do it up Jamaican style. We're going to jerk some chicken, and there's no telling what we're going to do to it. You know, I'm going to do it up. I'm going to go right to your Facebook page, get a couple recipes off of it, and work it out. I'm telling you, I'm really excited about it. So it's just a great thing to have. I'm proud to have you on. You know, your barbecue brother from another country. I'm proud to have you here with us tonight. And I'm going to go back to our studio board, see if we got any callers in queue. I just really enjoy doing different flavors, different styles, different profiles. You know, that's about whether it's Tennessee cook, Texas cook, Jamaican cook, it doesn't matter. We're going to smoke it up. We're going to have a good time with it and just enjoy our flavors.
Exactly.
Let's see here. You know, I just can't wait. I can't wait. Yeah, but we'll post that. We'll post that on my site, my radio's site, my Blog Talk Radio site also, and we'll just go with it like that and just have a good time with it. I can't wait. I hope that we can get some barbecue brothers here in the States to give you a call, email you, or send you a Facebook message and turn them on to some Jamaican wood, because it really is exciting. I mean, I looked at that wood and I could tell it was a hardwood, and I just don't know what to expect out of flavors. So I'm really excited about that. So how long have you been doing this wood?
Oh my God, long time. We just basically, I didn't plan to sell it anything. You know, we just enjoy and family and friends and long, probably about, I don't know, 20 years. But
really?
When my friends start to call me from Canada, can you bring me some, send me some, okay, I send. Then from States, can you send me some, okay, I send some. Then people from Australia, can you send some, okay, I send some. And then my friends say to me, why don't you want to sell it? So I say, okay then. It wasn't planned to sell so much, you know, it's just, the idea was just, you know, enjoy for the family, because we have, between me and my partner and my friend, we have about 50 acres, it's about two different properties with 50 acres. So this pimento overgrow. What happened in Jamaica, all pimento controlled by control board, but not
right.
Pimento wood, only seeds. And the Jamaican boards right now stop export coal, charcoal pimento, because we don't want burn. The NEPA, the environment agency, stopped this. So right now, if you sell pimento, even wood, right, you have to show, is overgrown your property, are you replacing for new? You don't chop old tree, you only take the pieces, so the base is still there, so you can respray it. Well, because we have lots of in the property, so we kind of start to, you know, just play around, and then people say, well, okay, you know what, look like it's, you know, start to give feedback. Well, you know, when we cook in Australia, you know, all neighborhoods was around us. Can you send me again? And then in the States, same thing, guys from Texas. Oh, you know what, all neighborhood was there. I say, and so basically people like it. We say, cool, you know.
That's what it's about, that's right. That's exactly right. You know, once it takes off, people try these new flavors, try this flavor, they're just going to continue on with another flavor. And,
yeah, because
you know,
we have lots of different woods too. We have about five different type of exotic wood, about six more type of exotic wood too. And we have some people from Europe. They love it. We just sent about 600 pounds different wood to them as well. About 2 weeks ago, something like this. So.
That's
saw, they tried, they mixed it in, and they love it, because basically when you mix it, we have tamarind, we have cedar, we have sweet wood, Spanish milmo, we have broadleaf, we have mahu, blue mahu. So basically, you know, different wood only grow in tropical. So they give it a different flavor, so you can mix them.
Right. Well, that sounds like you're shipping out wood all over the world. I mean, and you just got people that, once people try this and they use it and they'll want more and want more and want more. Man, I tell you what, I'd like to go outside and fire up the pit right now and try it out.
You will like it, because I think I'm happy when the people start to thinking about out of box. You know, I have lots of, like, from people even request. Well, you know, I like oak. I stay with the oak. So if you go on our page on the Facebook, you will see each wood what for. You know what I mean? So it's been like for fish, for pork, which one is the best wood? Because some of them have strong, some of them very light, some of them don't disturb soft meat, for example, especially when you're doing fish without foil openly. You know, it's a lot of different woods you have to understand. So people start to argue, but you know, I say, you know, if you never try, you never know.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah, I do.
You can't
I
just say
exactly.
One. I just have this, and it's the best. It's nothing best, you know. Somebody have better, and somebody have taste different, and it just try it, you know. But I glad people start to, you know, thinking about a little bit different, start to look outside the box, and start to try with the different spices, try with different flavor of the wood, you know what I mean? Try different temperature. Now more people. Now people go, more people now go slow smoking. It's been slow instead of fast. So it's been, people start to adjust only for different methods, you know. And
right,
it's very
right.
Nice.
Well, well, actually, the faster, the hotter temperatures you cook, the less smoke you actually infuse and have. So the slower the tip, the lower the tip, the more the smoke. That's my opinion. Now, see, this is hardwood. You're talking about you can use it, and when you burn it out, you use it again. Well, once you lit it and put it out, you've got lump coal then. I mean, you can continue to use it until you burn it to ash. And it being a hardwood, it's not going to take much. And, I mean, a 22-pound order, well, you know, with somebody like a patio pitmaster that just grills once or twice a week, and he wants this flavor, I mean, 22 pounds is going to last him quite a long time, and it being a hardwood, it's gonna burn a little longer and a little slower. So I just, you know, I'm just ready. I'm ready to try it out. And,
especially sticks. This is why you rest meat on the top of the sticks, so the all flavor goes straight to the meat. We have lots of pictures in Facebook. We have lots of pictures how basically this is what we're doing. We put them on the sticks and then put zinc or something on the top. So you can, in the home grills, you can use foil. So when you cover, so basically is smoke like a stay like in a vacuum. You know what I mean? This
right.
is what they go, it's
right.
straight penetrating the meat. So it means this is what you will get the meat. Nice meat.
And, you know, and I tell you what, I'm really ready to drill some holes in it, too. I mean, that's, you know, I never thought about that. But in those sticks and some of that large stuff, you start drilling those holes, and that's just a little trick right there that all these pit masters, some of them might use and they don't tell. But, because we're usually cooking in bigger mass, you know, and I'm using wood slabs, and, in my big pits when I'm cooking competition or something, but in my, like in my, grill or in my Green Mountain pellet cooker. I use different pellet flavors, and I think this pimento will work great in that grill. So I'm really ready to try that out and excited about using that too. If you just tuned in tonight, guys, the number is 347-202-0263. That is the same barbecue number every show. Call in. Let's talk some smoke. We have got Mark from Jamaica on. He is the main man of Pimento from Jamaica right here on Facebook, or you can look it up on the web, pimentofromjamaica.wix.com. And I have got some new Jamaican wood, and I'm ready to try it out, fire it up, and see what's going on. But I'm sure am glad to have Mark here with us tonight. We're international tonight, baby. We're not stateside. We're international. So, you know, it just the more I think about it, the more I talk about it, it's just the more I want to go try
more
that
you
out.
Want it.
Yeah, I might have to stop the show, cut it off a little early tonight, and go out on the back deck in the dark and light me some wood, light me some pimento wood on top of my coals and get the smoke going and then cook some chicken up, Jamaican chicken, jerk chicken tonight. Sounds like that would be some fire grub, especially with a good old Coors Light. And you know, it's that time again, guys. Time to pop another top. Sip on the cordwood and talk smoke. 347-202-0263. Mark, I've got a caller here in queue. Let's see if we can get him in. He is right here out of Memphis, Tennessee, home of the international world-famous Memphis in May barbecue competition. He is on a big team. He cooks there every year. Let's see if we can get him in and welcome him to the show. And he might even want to ask you a question or two about this pimento wood. I'm telling you, he is a pit master in his own rights. He is, Adam, just a minute, we're going to get you queued in. There we go. Adam, too soft to pork. Let's see, we're waiting on this computer to queue you in, and you're going to be live with us, brother. You're live with us. Welcome to the show. How's it going tonight?
Wonderful, Chris. How are you?
Man, I'm doing great. Doing great. Talking to Mark right here from Jamaica. We're talking pimento smoking wood tonight. And
pimento wood.
I have got some. Yes, yes. And I can't wait to try it out. And I'm excited about it.
Get that and some Scotch bonnets going, and you've got something Jamaican.
No, brother, I'm telling you, we get that old Scotch out and old Scotch bonnet out. I don't know if I can handle much of that. That's going to have a little heat to it.
Just a little bit.
A little bit. I think that's a little hotter than our old traditional habanero. What about that, Mark? How hot is that? I don't know what quote the world's hottest pepper is, but I know that old Scotch bonnet's up there with it. Pretty warm, pretty warm. Well, Adam, what's going on in Memphis, Tennessee tonight?
Well, I didn't know if I was allowed to say so or not, but our team has been, of course, you know our team is a very large team that accepts memberships from people all over the country and all over the world to join us at Memphis in May for food and fun, and they're starting to you know, accept those memberships, and didn't know if I might have the opportunity to tell people about it if they wanted to
find out
what Memphis in May is about.
That's what this show is all about, brother, you and the Q. So, no doubt.
Nope.
I'm proud to have you on, and you just tell everybody about it because I'm aware of it, but there's a lot of people that's not aware of it. I mean, it's a great opportunity, especially to get to go to a world-class, world championship event and participate in something like that. It's a cool idea, it's a cool concept, and it's an awesome thing to do. We'll give you, just rock and roll with it, brother. Have at it.
Okay. Well, our team is Two Sauce to Pork. We do have a webpage. I believe it's twosaucetopork.com, as well as you can find us on Facebook. We are a very large team that works within the Memphis area as well as Buffalo, New York. But every year at Memphis in May, we offer memberships to our team because if you just come there and you've never been to it, you know, unless you're friends with a team or sponsors of a team, it's no fun. You just get to walk around and look at stuff. But We don't think that's fair, and there's a lot of people that come around from all over the world, and we offer memberships to our team. There's a small cost. I believe it's around $250 per person, but the event goes on for, let's see, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, so 4 days. And it's basically it gives you entrance, you know, to the event, as well as all of the meals are covered, all the drinks from sodas to booze and anything you want. It's just a great party and a good time. We also offer, you know, people that come in that have memberships to help out, do what they want, you know, learn a lot of things. We have cooking classes that we do in our booth, as well as, you know, it just gives you a place to rest, that sort of thing. Last year we had about 40 or 50 members come in. Some were from Australia, others from parts of Europe and all over the country that come in, and we just have a great time with it. And right now they're accepting applications. You can find that at our website, or even look for us on Two Sauce to Pork and on Facebook. And if you're planning on being in the Memphis area, the Memphis May International Festival, it's not only a Memphis thing, but this is the creme de la creme for competition when it comes to, you know, who's the best of the best in the world. They come here, and you'll see some of the greatest teams competing against one another, from everything from sauces to whole hog and ribs and shoulder, and it's just a great time.
Man, it is. It's an awesome thing that's going on right there, and Memphis in May, I don't know how many years, I don't know what, do you know when that was actually started? What, in the late 70s, early 80s?
I believe it started in 77 or 78, and God rest his soul, the first person to win it was John Willingham, if you know him, and he's won it
right.
A few times. He passed away just this year during Memphis in May. His son was cooking on the team, and he passed. But it's been going on since then, and, you know, they had a kind of a ceremonial, you know, passing for him, but it's just been a great thing. It's right there on the Mississippi River. The view is beautiful. The setups are nice. You know, depending on the weather, you know, it can get a little warm out there, but it's just a great time, good fun. If you love barbecue and never been to it, it's something to see. But, you know, it's never fun if you're not with a team or on a team. That's why we offer that opportunity, you know, to people coming in. And
right.
it's a great time. It really is.
Right. A lot of people don't really realize that. That's the thing about a lot of barbecue competitions, and that's something that the Tennessee Barbecue Association actually does. You know, the last place you can usually get barbecue is at a barbecue competition. You know, really, if you don't know someone or you're on a team, a lot of people don't understand that you just can't walk up to a booth or to a team cook site and get some barbecue. And this thing that y'all do is such a sweet deal. You know, you're looking at 4 days. You're looking at four days paying to get in Memphis in May, which is, I mean, a cheap seat, $10 to walk through the gate. I believe that's what it costs. And you got 4 days of that. You're supplying your food, your drinks. You're actually educating, teaching flavor profiles, teaching tricks and tricks, you know, it's pretty awesome what you're doing. And for $250, it's what a deal. You know, it really is.
It covers our cost. There's no profit involved, but, you know, it's like I say, it's a full bar, full food, full everything. It's tough to beat. It's a great vacation.
Right. And, I mean, that's an awesome deal. You know, people just don't realize, and then actually get to be with a competition team, a professional competition team, get to hang out, they're meeting new people, which, number one, is a pretty awesome thing to do. When you go to Memphis in May, you can meet all these, I call them cool kids, because they are. I think we all cool kids. We barbecue. I think we are the shit, okay? I think, you know, we're all a great bunch of people, and we, you know, we're out there doing what we love. Like I say, it's great people. We have the passion, and we're kicking out the product. Barbecue, the whole spectrum of barbecue is just really awesome. We've got a lot of great people in it. You meet and make new friends constantly, and that is just, you know, that's what it's all about. And whether it's Memphis, Mississippi, whether it's Memphis, Tennessee, Kansas City, Missouri, it doesn't matter. Texas, Lubbock, Texas, wherever we go to barbecue, it doesn't matter. You still got that one common denominator, it's the real people involved in it. And that's what I love so much about it. You know, we're talking right now, we've got Mark, he's from Jamaica, he is kicking out some awesome recipes right here. He just sent me a couple killer jerk recipes that I'll be posting shortly with this new pimento wood. Have you actually ever heard or thought about pimento wood before, Adam?
I have. It's not exactly easy to come by around here, but it's widely used in the Caribbean. In fact, the country I think we're promoting this year is Panama, where it's widely used as well. It has some similarities to I think of a blend of alder and a lighter pecan at the same time. It's
really
a very great wood to work with.
And you know, and also Mark was saying a while ago that you know, in some of these smoking woods, and it makes a lot of sense. He says, drill some holes in it.
That allows the heat to jump up through it. It gives you a better heat if you don't. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and I don't see why it wouldn't increase your smoking area, you know, because you're smoking from the inside out, you're smoking that wood's charred, it's smoking inside, heat's coming through that wood. You know what? I've never personally thought about it, but, you know, that's something, that's kind of a trick for thought right there. You know, I'm going to try some out. I've got some. Mark sent me some, and I can't wait to try some of this with something, a good jerk spice. He sent me some awesome recipes. I will be posting them on my Facebook page. You know, just some original recipes. It just means a lot when you have somebody of that nationality, that culture, sending you something. You know, it's a little extra special in my book, and I can't wait to try it out. I mean, we'll definitely have to let the smoke roll with some pimento wood this time.
Oh yeah, it's fantastic. I have a kind of a staple recipe I use. I do pork tenderloin with a Caribbean rub. You know, a lot of allspice, a lot of there's a little bit of green leaf, maybe some light thyme in it, and a little bit of scotch bonnet, dried chilies in it. And I did quick smoke on a tenderloin, and every time I cook it, everybody's like, what did you do to that? And I'm like, I'm not telling. it's just fantastic. it's a great cook.
Yeah. Well, that sounds awesome right here. Jerk spice recipe, sugar, paprika, salt. Which I like to smoke my salt, garlic powder, red pepper, thyme, allspice. Man, that sounds killer right there. Spice mixture,
yep.
Olive oil. That's for shrimp, actually. Don't that sound good on some shrimp?
Sounds fantastic.
I've got some fresh Louisiana shrimp that I just froze. I put up and just froze not long ago. I might have to thaw some of those bad boys out tonight and try some new flavors on the grill tonight. You never know what I'm going to do. I mean, I might stay up half the night cooking shrimp and chicken on pimento wood, drinking Coors Light. I mean, how much better can that get?
They don't.
Good enough.
Oh,
that's all there is to
I'm
it.
I'm telling you. It sure does. You know, guys, you never know who you're going to meet in the barbecue community, what's going on, and and it's always exciting to meet new people, make new friends. You know, that's what I like about it. You know, if I, you know, I wouldn't have met you, Adam, if we hadn't been cooking and barbecuing and you know, and we got to get together and cook some. You know, we're going to have a cook-off in early in the first of the year. Won't you come down and play? And we've got a couple other things going on. We've actually got one in December, too.
That's what I was going to talk to you about. I apologize for cutting you off, but our season's light until, you know, the season warms up, you know, for the fair-weathered barbecuers. But from here until, I think, the Don't Be Cruel duel that happens, I think it's late February, March, I'm pretty available. If you have things going on with the TPA or need some assistance, I can, I'll help you out.
That sounds awesome. You know, we TBA in March, we do our rib shootout right here in McKenzie. That's where we kicked it off this past year. We're going to increase that and make a few more things happen in our cook, but we're going to do that. We've got a cook in December at in Paris. It's the Polar Bear Moose Lodge cook, and it's usually a really good cook. And that's going on in December. I'm not sure the date yet, so I think it's the first week or two in December. So I'll post that and shoot you about that too. You know, because what's nice right here, Memphis. You know, Memphis is 2 hours away. I mean, you know, that area. We're actually really close to be completely worlds apart. Seems like, you know, from McKenzie to Memphis, but we'll definitely get something going. I mean, yeah, Mark's sending me some awesome recipes I'm going to share here shortly when I can get that up. I'm trying to, I've tried to get the chat room up tonight, guys, and I don't know if we've got some listeners out there. I just haven't had any luck in trying to get this chat room up tonight. I usually have several guys in the chat room that likes to come in and visit and hang out in the chat room and shoot the bull a little bit. 347-202-0263 is the number to call tonight. I do want to give a big shout-out to my sponsors real quick before we go much further. We cued Mark in right at the front of the show, but I do want to give a shout-out to some of my sponsors tonight. As always, I greatly appreciate every sponsor that we have. And, you know, without sponsors, it sure makes it a lot harder. And, you know, whether you sponsor my team, your team, you know, we've got to really thank all our sponsors because without them, it does definitely make it a lot harder. So I want to give a shout-out to Green Mountain Grills. You know, they've got some awesome little pellet cookers. They are user-friendly. They are patio pitmaster's dreams, I'm telling you. I've got the Daniel Boone, which is a true blue, nice little pit. Very easy to operate, simple to use, holds a constant temp. It's very economical on pellets. It doesn't heat the pellets up. Remote control, I mean, it's got the bells and whistles. It will put out the product. And I'm gonna use some of this pimento wood. I'm going to light some of this pimento wood and smoke in this Daniel Boone, matter of fact, and try that out. Also, got to give a big shout-out to Blues Hog Barbecue Sauce. Blues Hog is one of the largest well-known competition barbecue sauces on the market. In my book, it's right there at the top. They have several flavors available. You've got the original, you've got Tennessee Red, you've got Smoky Mountain, and you do have a Blues Hog Mustard barbecue sauce, and they're all killer sauces. If you see it in the grocery store, pick up a jar, try it out. You will not be sorry. It does have my seal of approval on it. It is a good sauce. I mean, and it's a phenomenal sauce. And, I mean, people get calls with it constantly every competition.
Oh, we got one, where were we? Smoking by the Lake, first place chicken, mix of the original and Tennessee Red.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about.
It was awesome.
That's what I'm and, you know, well, I've got some awesome sponsors, you know, that's got some really awesome product. GrillGrate.com, Mr. Brad Barrett. If you've not tried a Grill Grate yet, you definitely need to get on get on the bus and try real great, because he has got a phenomenal product. We've got some great Christmas specials coming on, coming to you right now. Go to grillgrate.com and check those out. To give a shout out to Junior Reyes, that's team up in Smoke. Junior's Rub for Grub. He has got a wonderful rub. Adam, have you tried the Junior's Rub for Grub yet? Have you heard of that or ever tried that yet?
I have not, but on your previous promotion there, I will say since I've purchased grill grates, I use my Weber grill for grilling, you know, all the time. I've got a family of, you know, three, and I use my Weber all the time. I haven't stopped using those grill grates since I bought them. I've been impressed with them ever since. But tell me about this rub, because it sounds awesome.
Well, this is a Texas rub. Junior, actually, I had the pleasure of meeting Junior when I went down to Lubbock, Texas to cook at a big IBCA cook-off with John Reed, Smoking X, and Lance Moore was there. Junior Reyes was there. It's just a good Texas-style rub. It works great on chicken, works great on pork. They use it on beef all the time, briskets. I mean, they use it on everything. It's got a good flavor. It's got a right amount. It's got the right amount of salt, the right amount of savoriness. Now, one thing it doesn't really have, it's not sweet. It's not. It doesn't have a lot of sugar in it. But it is a great rub, and it'll definitely set you apart, you know, because it has distinctive flavors that you just can't make them, you know, over the counter with grocery store products and come up with that kind of flavor. And if people don't know what I'm saying, you know, there's products commercially made that they have available to them that they can mix this and that and have a product and a flavor profile, whereas we can't go to the grocery store and buy that flavor to mix in our rub. Does that make sense, Adam?
It does. And, you know, a lot of the commercial rubs that I've seen, you know, and I read the ingredients, and usually the top three is what's mostly in, you know, the rub that you're purchasing. And, you know, some of them I even see have an anti-clumping agent, you know. And there are some places where I go to specialty rubs, and they'll even boast, we do not add any anti-clumping agents to our rub. I like that, you know. And,
yeah,
you know, it's a great thing. And it's hard to find in the stores. I mean, sometimes you have to special order these things. And, you know, especially like when you're looking for a Texas style and you're over in Memphis and, you know, the grocery stores are lined with all sorts of super sweet things. And it's not something I might necessarily want to put on beef, you know, and I want to cook a brisket. I've got to make my own, you know, and
right.
Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're not. But if I could find a great rub that's brisket that's store-bought, you know, that would be a fantastic thing. I'd love to try it out.
Well, you know, I think Mark is getting ready to leave us from Jamaica. Mark, it has been a pleasure to have you on the show tonight. I want you to come back and give us updates. I'm going to share some of these recipes that you've shared with me. I'm going to repost on my Facebook page. I'm just excited about trying this pimento wood out. I really am, because, you know, I love different flavors. I've actually got some Hawaiian guava fruit tree wood also that I had to order a while back that is a dynamite flavor. But we greatly appreciate you being on the show tonight. And I just don't know how to thank you. You're welcome to stay on with us and have, you know, just finish out the show with us. But thank you very much, Mark. We greatly appreciate you coming on and just invite you back, brother. Have a good night, and thank you much. So, you know, I tell you what, we just have a great time. We have a great time doing this. We meet people from all over the country, all over the world. You know, went to the Jack Daniels Invitation. 22 international teams there, had some awesome people there, made friends. The Danish team, friends from the UK team. I mean, it's just great to get out and experience experience different cultures, different styles, different ways, different cooks. I enjoy doing that because every cook has something. Every cook, every culture has a little different way, a little different style, a little different technique of cooking. And I just think it's, personally, I think it's really cool. Adam, have you learned anything from some of the different techniques there at Memphis in May with some of these international teams? Do you get to get out and hang out with some of these guys?
Absolutely. We are a great friends with the International Danish Barbecue Team, and they always put on a wonderful show to us. We're always invited. I believe it happens on Wednesday, and they invite the whole team over, and they always put on a serving demonstration. It's always a very small plate, but it's always like a six-course meal, which it's fantastic. Last year, they did a serving where they brought out this, it was a pottery. It was almost, a small clay pot that looked like a beautiful assortment of vegetables. It almost looked like something you'd grow in your garden, but it was like carrots and asparagus and this sort of thing with a smoked cheese around it, that was for dipping. And it was almost a work of art. You're afraid to eat it. Like, is this some table, decoration? And they come around and they give us an explanation. Oh, all of this is edible, and we tried that out. It was fantastic. And I believe they served us a tenderloin with it. It was more than we could even eat at this point in time. And they did a foie gras, which is, I think it's goose or duck liver, and it almost tasted like the fatty end of a filet. It was fantastic. I mean, nothing but compliments with them, and it's just different things. And the year before, they served some type of it was a scallop over a a smoke style pea or soup type thing with mint. It's kind of a type of infusion, but it was perfect. Everything complemented what was served, and it was very different food, but everybody at our table, we're all big foodies. We didn't have anything but nothing but compliments to say that it was one of the greatest sit-down samplers that we ever had. And
right.
We walked away from it going, what are we doing here cooking pork butts and ribs? And we just had that. it's great. And, of course, they come and visit us, and, they come out and party with us, and they want to have Memphis-style barbecue. So it's a great time. And they even released a book. This last year, it's a little pricey, but it has great stories in it. I don't know exactly where to find it. I know it's from the International Barbecue Team, or you might be able to find it on Weber's cook site. They're a big sponsor of Weber, and it was a great read. A lot of our guys bought the books, and they even had most of the team signed them. And it was a great time. It really was, and I have everything great to say, rather, to the Danish international team, which, of course, will be at Memphis in May. They cook at the Jack. They've won a lot of awards. They're a very well-respected team. It's a really good time.
It is. It is an awesome time. People tuning in, which most of our audience, I'm sure all of our audience, are barbecue competition cooks. These guys and gals love to cook. They have the fever. They have the passion. They love to do it. So they know what we're talking about. But, on occasion we get listeners that call in, chime in, that really hadn't been in the barbecue scene very long. And I tell you, once you get in it, I think it's the best addiction that you could possibly have, in my book. As the barbecue community, the barbecue competition, the camaraderie, the competitiveness, it's all balled up in one. You got you got some of your best friends you're cooking against. You wish them the best. You want to beat their ass. You know, you want to walk. You want to get that call. You know, you're really had at it. But if you don't, you're proud that they do. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you're back and forth. If we can't beat anybody but beat our buddy, then we do it okay. Whether we're second to last or last, as long as we beat our buddy, we're doing all right. You know, that kind of mentality with some of us, you know. But it's all in good fun. We have a great time. We don't get tore up and being out of shape. It's just really a great time. And I just love it. You know, I'll help anybody I can. I'll do what I can for them. You know, that's the general rule at a barbecue. You know, if you don't have something, you need something, you go over there and ask them, you know, sure, they're going to give it to you if they got it. And I know it's happened to me both ways. I've been out and I've had more than I needed and I've shared and I hadn't, you know. So it all works out, and that's the way it works, and I'm proud to be a part of that old barbecue family.
Oh, it's a great community. It's I remembered when we've come around to certain cooks, and you're like, oh crap, I'm out of this. You run over to the next tent or a friend or a buddy or somebody you don't even know. Hey, do you have this? Oh yeah, we've got it. You know, here you go. Thank you. You know, it happens to us quite a bit in a lot of competitions. I'm sure you've had that same problem, Chris. And it's like, okay, here it is, and I hope you get number two because I'm going for number one.
There you go. That's what it's all about. I tell you, you know, that is, you know, we all wish them the very best and hope they place. I hope they win second. I mean,
You got a chance to meet the Danish team when you were at the Jack.
Yes.
What was your experience with them?
Well, you know, at the Jack Daniels, this particular competition, they required you to turn in seven pieces in your box. Okay? Seven pieces instead of six. You know, seven pieces, old number seven, Jack Daniels number seven. So, you know, I didn't see any issue with that. But in chicken, they required you to turn in both light and dark pieces. And, you know, that had a lot of people in an uproar. And I was over there, and they were cooking all on these, I guess they were Weber Smoky Mountains is what they were using.
Oh, that's all they cook on. They pull out a mountain of, there must be 20 Weber grills in front of their tent. That's all they cook on.
I'm telling you, you know, they had them lined up perfectly in line. Had briskets, had ribs, you know, they had it all. They had pork, they had them all on these Webers. And I was down on the end talking to this one cook, and he was doing the chicken. And he had thighs in there, and they were small, petite thighs, looking real good. I mean, really impressive looking thighs. And right beside him, he had the white meat, which were breast, and how they had them shaped, and how they had them cooked, and the color they had on them, and they, you know, they were a boneless breast. I guess they had deboned them after the fact, but they were finishing them up, and they were glazed over, and they were shaped up just perfectly, just a little larger than the thighs, and I mean, it was just amazing to see the exact way they did that chicken. I mean, we all do our chicken. Chicken is the best, the most popular category ever. It doesn't matter if it's NBN, KCBS, TVA. It doesn't matter. People, everybody loves chicken. And but they had a spot on. They had a spot on chicken. And then I went over and talked to Jim Bourne. You know Jim from Memphis Marinades?
Yeah.
You know him, Adam? Jim was there, and I finally got to meet Jim, and I got to give a shout-out to Memphis Marinade. Yes, Jim's a fine fella. I really like Jim, and he's got an awesome product, and can't wait to go down and hang out with him. You know, he's got that product in the Whole Foods markets now. And
he does.
I
buy his items at a Charlie's Meat Market here locally. His chicken marinade is fantastic. Of course, it comes as a dry product. You know, he was doing a cooking demonstration out in front of the meat market, explaining to people, this is not a seasoning. You know, you add a little water to the seasoning and let it set. You know,
right.
I guess with the confusion of people purchasing it and just sprinkling it on as a seasoning. But yeah, if you follow the directions on the label, it is a fantastic product. It's great. I've only tried the chicken product, but it's very good. I give it very high marks.
And you know, he has the chicken, the pork, the beef, and lamb, which is more of a you know, you don't have. You know, you don't cook with a lot of lamb, which I personally don't, nor at a barbecue competition, but I bet that's a dynamite marinade also. I've got to come down and enjoy that. You know what it's about time to do is a barbecue crawl in Memphis again, in that area. And we're going to work
like
it out.
Fun.
And yeah, we had a great time last time we went, and we're working on one right now, and definitely got to get a few guys together. Last year it was me and Cody Archie from Lulu's Barbecue and Shane Greer. That's who did the barbecue crawl last year. And I had so many people say I sure would love to go next time. And we're going to work that out and try to work it out where we can get a big crew to go and just have, you know, hit some different spots and have a great time doing it. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, Shane's a great tour guide. I think after that happened, we talked. He kind of told me a few of the spots he went, and I asked him, I was like, well, did you go to this place? And he's like, no. I was like, well, did you go to this place? And he's like, yeah, we went there, and they were out of Cornish hens. And I was like, oh, that's all you got to get there. You know?
Right.
It was a good time. But, yeah, let us know when it happens. There might be a few extra spots on the map if I talk to him prior, and I might even join you.
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's what it's all about, you know, get a bunch of guys together. They won't know how to act when you got 10 or 12 guys coming in and want to try out ribs and try out pork and try out their specialty. But they were out of the Cornish hens. You know, we had rib tips instead.
Yeah, they're fair. I know what you're talking about. The Cornish hens, that's the creme de la creme. Everything else there, it's okay. But it's a genuine hole-in-the-wall barbecue joint, but those Cornish hens are off the hook. There's a few other places
I was going to say, they had that old aquarium-style cooker. And that was one of the first ones I've ever seen, that glass aquarium cooker, smoker, grill. That's old school right there. But, you know, the old pit master knew how to use it. You know, he was in there flipping and doing and making her work.
Yeah, there's a couple of other spots, too, that y'all missed. So we'll talk to Shane about it. You assemble some people and let us know, and me and Shane will talk.
All right. Yeah, we definitely got to do that. I want to hit there's several spots I want to hit this year, and we've got to go. And you know, I'm not been to Memphis Barbecue Company yet. I've got to go to Memphis Barbecue Co. and have lunch or dinner with Melissa. She's still expecting me to bring my daughter down for that deal. You know, my daughter and her have this pact that, you know, they're ready to have supper or lunch together. And and if I go, I'm going to have to take my daughter with me to that one.
A great lady indeed. She's a wonderful cook. I follow her on Facebook. She knows her business. I think Shane came over to a Memphis Barbecue Company and was telling me, if you're not in the mood for barbecue, he claimed that the I want to say it was shrimp and grits. It was something on the menu. He said it was the best thing he ever had. I mean, it was like just short of, you know, I ate so much barbecue that day. I went over there, and I just didn't want barbecue, and I ordered this. He was like, Adam, you know, it was the best I ever had. So
yeah.
How can you compete with that?
I remember him talking about that. That's right, shrimp and grits. And you know what? What can you do? Shrimp and grits. I mean, that sounds. Most people don't like grits here in Tennessee. You know, most of the people I know don't care for grits. I was raised on grits in South Carolina. I mean, a grit is basically a thinner. It's thinner polenta is all it is. Polenta. You know, all that is just a thick grit, polenta, cornmeal polenta. And chefs actually use that constantly with many dishes. I don't know if it's really popular in Memphis, but you turn on Food Network and you see, I mean, they are wearing the polenta out.
Oh, they do. And it's what you think about chefs and restaurants. They want to give you something gourmet, something fantastic. But it's got to be something they can put together quick, you know. In French cuisine, even New Orleans, you know, like type cuisine, you know, grits, shrimp, it's a quick cook. But you know, even years ago, it was I don't know 5, 6, 7 years ago, I'd never even tried shrimp and grits, and I tried it once, and I was okay with it. But it's almost like eating gumbo or even certain other dishes. It can be cooked 15,000 different ways, and once you eat it the way you like it, you're like, wow, this is fantastic. every time I go to a restaurant, you know, an upscale restaurant, I'm like, okay, I don't know if I want to eat your, you know, crazy meal or whatever, but I always notice every restaurant has shrimp and grits. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to try your shrimp and grits to see how it is. You know, because it's always different. Everybody cooks it different. And it's a fantastic dish, you know, at least in this area and maybe even lower south. So I always try to sample your shrimp and grits because I know it's going to be different than anything I've ever had. And I get to judge it. So.
That's right. That's exactly right. Hey, well, hold on, Adam. Let's see. I just refreshed my board. I've got a couple more callers in queue right here. Looks like they've been holding for a few minutes. I know this number right here. This is, I don't know if you know Roy Powell or not, Assault from the Sky Barbecue Team. Let's see if we can get Roy in on the convo. Roy, welcome to the show. What's going on, brother?
Oh, not much. Hey, I'm here.
How are you doing this evening?
Oh, not too bad. I would have called earlier, but I had some school stuff I had to deal with here. But like I told you, I was going to call in tonight. So,
well, I'm proud to have you on. I apologize. I just refreshed my board, and your number popped up, and glad to have you. It's just what's going on with Salt from the Sky Barbecue Team. I know you've had several things going on. You've got school going on right now. We were talking about new pits. You're thinking about some new pits pretty soon. Just a lot of stuff going on right now, isn't there?
Oh yeah, I've got a lot of stuff on my plate right now. You know, I've been here for a month here in Virginia for school. I graduate the 17th of December. Then I'll be heading back to Colorado. Then as soon as I get done there, I go on Christmas break, and then I'll be moving. During Christmas break, we're moving from the off-post house to an on-post house there on Fort Carson. So I've got that on my plate. You know, like I've been discussing here, you know, here at least the last month, you know, thinking about getting rid of my smoker, said, well, come down to the point that I've got a buddy of mine that's going to buy it from me once I get home from school. So I'm thinking about venturing over to the pellet world. So I kind of got a few in mind, but just haven't made up my mind yet.
Well, I tell you, there's a lot of pellet smoker options out there, pellet pits. I personally have the Green Mountain Daniel Boone, which is it's a well-built little pit. It cooks perfectly. You know, I cook in mass. I mean, I cook a lot. I mean, if I'm cooking chicken, I'm cooking 10 pounds of chicken, or if I'm cooking ribs, I'm cooking 20 racks instead of 2 racks. But what's nice about that Green Mountain is it's smaller. You can fire it up. It's to temp within just minutes. It holds it. It's right on the money. If you cook at a lower temperature, you get more smoke. A higher temperature, you get more of a cook. It's very easy to operate. It's perfect to have on a back patio. It doesn't take up a lot of space. It's perfect to, you know, it's just a, it's an easy addition, an easy use pit. And, you know, I took it and competed with it not long ago when brought home a second and 2/3. So, you know, and I mean, I'm sold on a pellet cooker. I'm an old-fashioned stick burner guy, but the pellet cookers, the ease of operation and how nice they are to have, it's just, it's unreal.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. When you're cooking so many different categories, you know, when you know, that you're tending to so many things on a stick burner or whatever, you know, it's nice to be able to know, you know, that you've got something going on, you know, that, you know, it's constant. You don't have to babysit it because you're too busy babysitting this. It's fantastic. I cook a lot of my chicken on a pellet smoker. It's not a Green Mountain, but, you know, it's a good thing to have in your arsenal, definitely.
Yes, I agree with you. I mean, it doesn't have to be a Green Mountain, but in my book it does because, I mean, it's you know, it's they're helping me, so I help them. But, you know, there's other pits out there that are just phenomenal cookers also. They're just more and more and more. I mean, you just see them. You look on Facebook, you search the web. I mean, you've got several different style pellet cookers out there. And, you know, as far as ease of operation, I would just have to say it is one of the easiest ways and things to cook with that I know of.
Absolutely, and the biggest challenge, and you know, I don't want to say there's cheap ones and good ones, but it's really finding the right brand of pellets, you know, that work for you, you know, and the ones
that
you like. There's I know that even Traeger makes their own pellets. There's a lot of other companies that make their own pellets, and some of them are very good quality, and some of them are not. So you have to sample with them, you know, to determine, you know, this is the right pellets, but the cookers themselves, they're solid.
Right. I agree with you there. And, you know, we have a farm supply store, and they sell 40 or 60 pounds for $3.99. But that's heating pellets. That's not cooking pellets. And it makes you think, how much difference in the cooking pellet is there in the heating pellet? The cooking pellets, Traeger has a pellet that's a good, they have a good pellet. Now, Green Mountain has a good blend pellet. They have a hardwood blend and a fruitwood blend. And I'm telling you, those are spot on. I enjoy using those. But then Traeger has, say, cherry pellets, apple pellets. You know, they have specific pellets, whereas Green Mountain has a blend of multi-fruit pellets. Or multi hardwood pellet, them both, and I like both of them. I like the flavor of the fruit blend that Green Mountain has. That's a good flavorful blend of pellet. It has a good flavor to it. Smoke even smells good. So you know they have wine soaked pellets. They have so many different style pellets now. So, I mean, the possibilities are endless as far as flavorful pellets or what you want to use and what type of smoke you're actually trying to get out of your pellets.
Yeah, it's, you know, me using my smoker now, I'm so used to, you know, throwing on a log every hour or two. And I, you know, said a couple months ago, you know, we was going to take 2014 and do some little bit of adjustments with the team and cooking strategies and stuff. And You know, this is what I got in mind for next year. I have a feeling that next year, we're planning on doing a few more competitions than what we usually do. You know, during the year, you know, as you know, being in the military, it's a little hard to do competitions based on what the Army wants you to do. But next year is going to hopefully be a stronger year for us. I've got to step to the wayside in 2015 because I'll be gone. But we'll see what next year brings.
Well, you know, that's all we can do, take it day by day and just see, you know, next year is right around the corner. I mean, it is already here. It is amazing how fast time flies as we as we grow older. 30 days rolls around too quick. I'm telling you, it's too quick. Time flies, and where do we go from here? You know, that's what it just keeps going. Well, 2014 is a month away, month and a half away. The new barbecue season starts. I'm already trying to plan. You know, Tupelo, you know, that is going to be a cook that I'm planning on hitting. Had a great time last year. I know, Adam, you mentioned that earlier, Tupelo cook. That's going to be a dynamite cook.
It was an awesome cook. It was clean, very well organized. Of course, you know, the weather, of course, cooperated with everybody. Didn't pull away with any trophies, but a lot of big names there. It's almost like a Memphis in May, too. You know, there's almost 100 teams there, big guys like, you know, Smoke and Traeger's was there. It's just Big Bob Gibson was there. It was a really good time. Even though we didn't take home any gold, it was we really enjoyed the cook, very well organized. It was I couldn't say anything bad about it. It was a great time.
That's right. It sure was. It sure was. Looks like we've got another caller. Let me see. He's not queued in. Let's see if we can queue him in. Mr. Blake Moody, Tortoise Q, I don't know if he just wants to listen tonight or he wants to chime in. We want to welcome him to the show and at least say, what's up, Blake? Hey, brother, what's going on tonight?
What's going on, Chris?
We're good. How are you doing this evening?
Pretty good, man. I'm burning up some meat on this here Weber kettle using Junior's Rub for Grub, baby.
There you go. There you go. I'm telling you. that's nothing like it. I'm telling you. I mean, it's just hard to beat it. It's hard to get any better than, you know, a bunch of barbecue guys talking about cooking, using some phenomenal products. Junior's product's a great product. I don't know if you caught the first of the show tonight or not, but we had Mark from Pimento from Jamaica on. He has a wood company and a spice company there in Jamaica, and we had him on, and he was talking about that. I've got some Jamaican pimento wood here, some hardwood I'm going to try out. I can't wait to try that out. But we've had a pretty good show, a real good show, actually. We've got Adam right here from Two Sauce to Pork on out of Memphis, and Roy Powell with us in the house tonight. And, you know, it's hard to beat. It's hard to beat good company.
Bubba, you allowed to smoke that Jamaican up where you live at?
Yeah. I'm telling you, we can smoke that stuff anytime. We in the country.
There you go.
You got a permit for that?
One of my barbecue brothers got that one.
I'll
smoke with anything, man. That's just some old citrus wood is what it is, you know.
Well, you know, I never have used any. We're gonna try it out and see. It's and I didn't know it was a hard wood, but he said it was a hard wood, and he actually pointed out something that I personally have never thought about. I'm sure I'm probably the only one that's never thought about it, I'm sure, but drilling holes in some of that hardwood, you know, as it smokes, as you're cooking the meat right on top of it. You know, just more mass, more smoke, more heat goes through, transfers to the wood. I'm ready to try that out and see what's going on with that.
You know, it has a lot to do with how you know, if you get your wood, if it's in big log style or if you split it. You know, I split a lot of my wood in, I don't know, I guess you'd say baseball bat style sticks. You know, and sometimes if you get the logs bigger, you know, you can drill them, you know, to get more heat expansion through them. But, you know, if you really take that wood and, you know, split it down to really thin sticks, it does the same thing, or you can drill it to get more smoke and heat through it.
Right. Well, usually most of the slab sticks I use are slabs, and they're going to weigh 4, 5, 6 pounds, 10 pounds a piece when I'm throwing them in my pit. You know, I mean, I'm burning real wood in that big cooker. And this is going to be more refined, something for the patio, you know, for the back deck, smoking on my cooker out back. But I know it's going to be, it's got to be a pretty awesome flavor. I'm really counting on it, excited about trying it out. So can't wait to do that. So, Blake Moody, any kind of competitions lined up for you? Are you done for the year? Well,
yeah, I hate to say it, and I hate to hear Roy Powell and you talk about it, but, 2014 is around the corner, and, man, we're pretty much got the kibosh in us. I don't really know what that means, but we're done, pretty much.
to go back to the kitchen
baby,
and start working out. Awesome.
I hear you.
I mean, the cooking continues as I stand over a live fire, but we have a real big FBA coming to Jacksonville this weekend. I'm pretty excited. All my friends are coming, and they're filming a new barbecue reality show at this contest. This is going to be one of the stops. So some of the big names coming through: Big Mo, Stump, Myron, and there's some dude nobody's ever heard about. I don't even know his name. But so I'm definitely gonna. I'm basically gonna cook on the team this weekend. But they're already a team. They don't need nobody babysitting anything. So, man, it's I'm excited about next year. Definitely and definitely making some plans. Trying to make some, you know, some way bigger plans. You know, do a little better than we did this year. But man, it's just we're letting the smoke roll as we speak, Chris. You know what I mean? It don't really ever stop, so.
I hear you, brother. That's right. That's exactly right. We're going to be cooking it up. We're going to be cooking it up next month, and that'll probably wind our cooks up. But, you know, we're constantly cooking, just like Thanksgiving is right around the corner. You know, turkey talk, we were intending on talking to turkey tonight. If y'all got any special techniques or tips to throw in, chime in about our turkeys. We've got another caller in queue. We've got to get him in. I mean, this is another part of the queue crew here. Mr. John Reed, Smoking X, he's a radio show host, X Nation, on Thursday nights. Let's see if we can get him queued in. It's taking its time, but John, hang on, brother. You're going to be queued in a second.
Hey, Chris, let me ask y'all something.
All right.
I'm cooking something I never cooked before. I'm cooking something in a different version I've never cooked before. This is these are pork steaks.
Right.
You just take a, you know, pork butt and you just, my butcher just sliced it. And, man, I'm just kind of effing around with these things. I'll be honest. I'm not going to put no salt
You'll
on
love
them. I just, I just hit
You'll
them with some juniors and did just a combo of, you know, indirect and straight on the fire just to get a little bit of brown on them. But, I don't know how to cook these damn things. I'm just going to.
It's a pork. Just cook it like a pork chop. A grilled pork chop, he'll love it. I mean, it's, we've cooked pork steaks for years. It's just a butt sliced. You know, you can do it many different ways. You can bake them. You can grill them. You can char them. You can smoke them. But my favorite is actually just grilled. you know, it's not going to be tender like barbecue. It's going to be more of a texture of a pork chop. And what are they, probably a quarter-inch thick? Or are they thicker? Okay. You know, just grill them up like a good savory rub. You use your juniors. Maybe throw some garlic, some onion on top of that. You can finish it off barbecue style, buffalo wing style, any kind of butter, garlic, any kind of style you want. It's going to turn out pretty rock star.
How thick are they?
They're not thick. They're quarter inch, something like that.
Yeah. You could sear them on both sides and throw them on indirect. It wouldn't take more than another 10 minutes if you're rolling it about. What's your temperature?
Well, I'm doing about a Weber kettle, about 22-inch, and half the side is lit, and half the side is dead. So I'm just kind of, like I said, I'm getting good color on them, and I just move them over and let that pecan smoke take over.
You could almost touch them with your finger, and you know when they seem to be not mushy anymore, they're done. They're a done deal.
Yeah,
seasoning's always. You can't go wrong with a salt, a little bit of pepper, a little bit of garlic. It's good business. You can throw in an extra seasoning or whatever, and it's a great thing. Put on the side.
Yeah, that's a staple of my kitchen is salt, pepper, garlic, and onion powder. I mean, that's just a staple. I've got a shaker full of it right now. That's what I use. I mean, that goes on anything. It goes in the soups, in the breading for chicken gizzards. I'm telling you, it goes in everything. That's just a rock star staple. Well, let's get John Rees in here. John Rees, welcome to the show, brother.
Well, I appreciate it, man. I heard y'all talking about Junior a while ago. I'm going to be kind of hanging out with him all weekend.
Well, I know there won't be no shigging going on, that's for sure.
It's liable to get a little rowdy.
Yeah, there will be some Coors Light drinking.
There will be. He's entered up in that Western Wood deal down there in New Braunfels, and we elected not to do that series for just a number of reasons. It just, our plate is just so full right now, and turns out I did bust out and have a free weekend when I didn't think we were going to, but then he asked me to ride down there with him and kind of help him out a little bit, so he helps us out a lot, so I'm going to go down there and help him out.
Well, that sounds like a big time. You got to give him a big old hug for me. I know he's not going to have any Coors Light. I've already had a couple tonight. I think I'm ready to have a couple more here in a minute. Nothing like talking barbecue and eating a little barbecue and drinking the cold Coors Light to go with it.
But, Chris, do the mountains turn blue?
I'm telling you, Black Moody's grilling up some pork steaks. Have you ever had a pork steak, John Rees?
I have, and I've cooked them, too, and I was listening to y'all a while ago. And I've cooked them, you know, like a well-done steak or, like you said, like a pork chop or something. I mean, that's just the way I've done them before. I haven't done a lot of them. It's been a year, 18 months since I cooked some last, but... man, that's how I do it, and that's what I'll say. It turns out almost like a pork chop.
Well, you know, pork chops, pork steaks are kind of common around here, just like what's common right there in Texas, what you cook, too, like every day. Brisket, you know, I never cook brisket. John's cooking brisket every week, every day. I mean, it's just, it's amazing. We're gonna have a brisket cook right here in Tennessee pretty soon.
Sounds awesome.
It does, doesn't it? I could really go for some good pit smoked brisket right now.
Y'all making me hungry.
I'm already hungry. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. I've been working. I didn't have breakfast or lunch.
Brisket does sound good right now, too, here in Virginia. So.
Well, Roy Powell, why don't you cook some up and send us all a little bit?
You know, if I had a way to do it, I probably would already up here.
Now, Roy, you said the other day you're looking for some IBCA stuff to come to Texas and cook. Have you figured out which ones you're going to do?
No, not yet. I'm still trying to, once I get back, I'll have more, you know, get back from school, I'll have more of an idea of when I can try to come down. It's going to be kind of hard sometimes with the kids still in school. So I was thinking, you know, trying to do something around spring break time or closer, you know, there in May, you know, like I was looking for, you know, Memorial weekend or something. I haven't quite figured it out, but by God, I'm going down to Texas next year, so.
Well, I know the feeling, Roy. I tell you what, I went once and it ruined me. I'm ready to go back.
Yep.
That's,
so.
You get to go hang out and do that kind of Texas cook, you won't want to go back.
Oh, I know.
You'll want to stay and cook.
They might see me, you know, see me going AWOL. They might have the law after me.
I can see that. I can see something like that happening, Roy. I tell you that. Shit.
AWOL. We're planning on coming down there in Texas. We just have to try to figure out my schedule and everything.
Well, I'd be watching that IBCA website if I were you, and I know that they're going to have. I don't really want to say that. There's a couple KCBS that I know that are going to pop up. That are going to be down here in Texas. So, you know, that's where I would hit. I'd be watching that KCBS website, and then I'd be watching IBCA. Because if you're real careful, you know, there's usually 8 or 10 during the summer and the spring and fall and stuff. You know, July is a terrible month, it seems like, for cook-offs. But it seems like all the way, you know, most of the month, I mean, you can do on the list, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. There's 8 or 10 IBCAs in Texas. So you can just kind of pick the region you want to go to and go.
Okay.
Well, Roy is going to want to come to Lubbock, Texas, or Midland, or right there around you, and Lance and Junior. Right? That's where Roy will want to be.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, I'm trying to, you know, see how far I can venture down, and, you know, I don't want to go, you know, halfway or, you know, three quarters across the great state of Texas, as they call it there. You know, I've got other names for the state of Texas, but we won't get into that. But
hey, man, everything's bigger in Texas.
Yeah. Sure.
Yep.
The United Republic of Texas is really what it ought to be called.
But, I don't know what to think about all y'all. I'm telling you.
But, yeah, it's... We'll be coming down here. We're looking at doing a couple here in Colorado once, you know, all the contest comes out. Looking at going up into Nebraska, Kansas, there in Oklahoma, I'm going to be coming down too. So, you know, like I said, this next year is going to be a little bit bigger for Assault from the Sky Barbecue than what we've usually done in the past, so.
Well, you got to check out, too. You know, they've got that, and I heard a rumor, and I don't know how much truth is in it, but in August, you know, they have that Red River, New Mexico, and that's an IBCA. And I heard kind of a rumor that was going to be a part of a series this year, that they were going to do an IBCA, another series, kind of like this Western Wood deal. Not near as big, not near the sponsor, but, I mean, just a series, you know, a three or four cook deal. And that the Red River, New Mexico one was one of the ones they were considering to add with that. So, you know, where you're at, you can just go due south. And, I mean, it's not going to save you a whole lot of miles, but, I mean, you'll still, you know, instead of having to come over to the east, you can just go due south and get into Red River. And I know that's a beautiful place. I know Lance cooked that one, and we were going to, and we had to drop out at the very last minute. Something kind of popped up on us. But, you know, I'm pretty sure we're going to do that one next year.
Yeah, Lance wanted, we was planning on actually going and cooking that one too, but, you know, military got into a little bit of, in the way of that. But, yeah, we was planning on going down, meeting Lance, and actually cooking it, but, you know, kind of fell through. But, yeah, we're still thinking about that. And you know, venturing around Dallas, you know, Lubbock way and, you know, stuff like that, I mean, might be very promising for us.
Well, I tell you, in Midland and Lubbock and Amarillo, man, some of them cooks, I mean, I think the one in April that comes up in Lubbock, the Buffalo Wing one, that one, I think there was, man, I'd have to go back and look. Lance will correct me on this, I promise you. But it was 70-something teams, nearly 80 teams at that one. So, you know, mm-hmm. Lubbock pulls out some pretty big cooks in nowadays, you know. I mean, there's some pretty big cook-offs, and I know that, you know, that Raider Red one's going to come back up in August this year. And I was talking to Tate this week, and they're getting that one to be a state championship. So they've met all the guidelines and everything, so that's going to be a really good one again, and that one's in August, as well, first weekend in August, I believe.
Okay.
That sounds like a winner right there. That's right there on the campus, too, at Texas Tech, isn't it?
Oh, the view was just awesome, I'm telling you.
Yeah,
it's right there on the campus. Yeah, the view, and I don't mean the scenery. The view was just awesome, and the judges, and it's crazy. It's a lot of fun, though. And that one, you know, it's on the campus. It's on asphalt. A lot of people don't like to cook on asphalt, but that one is on asphalt. But, you know, they got overhead lights everywhere. You're just in an overflow parking lot from the stadium is really kind of what you're in, and lots of room to spread out. There's a grocery store literally 100 yards from where you're cooking if there's a last minute or you need something. There's a United Supermarket, which is the major chain in our area, is sitting right there. So, you know, I mean, that's a really good cook because it's right in the center. It's right off the Marshall Sharp Freeway. Easy to get to. It's easy to find. You know, when you have a major university backing something like that, they mean business.
That's right. That's right. And it's going to be just, it's going to continue to grow. I mean, that was what, the second, was that the first or the second?
That was
right the
second or third year they've held it. What hurt that cook-off this year is they went straight up against another cook-off that was literally a 70, 80 team cook about 40, 50 miles from Lubbock. And it just kind of hit the schedule late. So, you know, it kind of hurt them a little bit this year. But they're holding their guns to what they're going to do that weekend. They're throwing more money at it. They're going to make it a state championship. You know, Tech is getting behind it more. The other cook that was 40, 50 miles from Lubbock that they can almost really kind of compete against is another sanctioning body. You know, IBCA and this other sanctioning body kind of go head-to-head sometimes, but, you know, one is good and both are good. I mean, there's nothing really bad or right or wrong with either one. They're pretty similar. It's just one is, I think, kind of holding idle, and IBCA is growing like crazy. So I think it's going to be a good one this next year, you know. I mean,
Lance and I
have such close ties to Tech and stuff like that that, you know, getting to talk to them and kind of, I don't want to say inside information because that's really not what it is, but learning what they're wanting to do and their vision for that cook. We'll be there this next year.
Yeah, you just get the whole scoop. You know what's going on.
Well, I'll tell you what. I said, if I can make it down there, I'll make a small wager with you.
Let's hear it.
You know, I'll make a small wager with you right there on the Texas Tech University. You know, I'm being from Oklahoma, you know, Sooner fan and everything.
Oh, gosh.
You know, whoever finishes overall higher than the other person has to wear that university shirt. How about that?
You know, I got like a third place brisket at that one this last year, and I placed in almost every tip. Okay, all right.
Hey, I mean, it's a challenge, right? Being in the military, we're very competitive, you know. So hey.
Well, I tell you what, I'll do it. I'm not scared.
I hear you. I hear you. I'm listening to all these bets.
I'm probably going to regret this. Yeah, I know, and I know that that Blog Talk is recording all this, so there's going to be evidence. But yeah, bring it. Let's do it right there on the
okay.
Tech Tip. You know, and if
yeah,
we want to throw
Roy.
Football in the mix and everything, you know, I'll tell you, give us a year or two. We're not losing faith. He's our man. We're standing behind him.
Yeah.
Oh, mercy. Mercy. Never know what's going to happen right here. I'm telling you, right here on the Let's Talk Smoke Show, we're getting bets. We're getting wagers. You know, it's just down and dirty. We're going to let the smoke roll and see who comes out victorious. I'm telling you. Well, guys, I got to ask this. I mean, we were going to talk some turkey and that, and I want to know if any of y'all got any special things you do to turkeys. I know a lot of us barbecue guys are out there, and we're smoking turkeys for Thanksgiving. We're smoking hams. We might be smoking ribs, briskets. But since it's Thanksgiving, let's talk about turkeys. Any special things or ways that y'all actually prepare turkeys? Just feel free to chime in and let us know what you're doing. I know Two Sauce to Pork looks like they're getting ready for a big turkey cook. I know I am getting ready for a huge turkey cook. I'm going to have two pits rolling, and I don't know how many birds it's going to be on there, 50, 60 plus. And so y'all chime in. Any turkey secrets? Let's talk some turkey.
I'll chime if I had the chime.
Chime. You got it. The floor is open.
Chime in.
Let's hear it.
I will be honest with you. This is not our barbecue team's recipe that we turn in, but I have cooked this turkey time and time again, and it's partially stolen out of the cookbook from Weber's Smoke, and it's fantastic. And for all your listeners out there, if you get your pen and pencil handy, I've cooked this many times. It has come out flawless every time. There's a couple of things that they say to do that I don't do, and there's a few things that they do that I add into it. But they have a method where you take your turkey, and if you got your pen handy, they call for about a 3/4 stick of unsalted butter. I use salted. And they actually ask for it softened. I melt mine. I actually cook it down. I melt it. And they call for 2 teaspoons of dried rosemary, 2 teaspoons of sage, 2 teaspoons of thyme. I blend that all together in my butter, personally. And they call for 1/2 teaspoon of granulated garlic. I use an entire, teaspoon myself. They call for 1/2 teaspoon of onion. I use an entire 1/2 teaspoon of onion. You get your turkey. So they call for about 13 pounds. You need to thaw it. You're going to put it on a smoker, grill, whatever. You get it thawed down right. And they call for kosher salt and pepper. I actually add it to the butter rub, and I use about 1 tablespoon of salt and probably about 3/4 tablespoon of pepper, and it just make a butter compound with it. Once we do that, I take about a medium onion, I quarter it into 6 pieces, and a green apple, a Granny Smith or something like that, and I stuff that in my turkey. Of course, giblets and all the other stuff removed, but the that sort of thing takes out the moisture. It adds moisture when you're smoking a turkey. I take the butter compound once it's melted and just put it all over the turkey, inside and out. I put it in an aluminum pan. I actually smoke in aluminum pans. Keeps things clean, keeps things nice. I put about 2 to 3 cups of chicken broth in the bottom of that pan, and I put it in my smoker. I run them at about 250, 275. Probably run them for about 4 to 5 hours, depending on, you know, your smoker and everything. And you can baste it a little bit if you want with a compound of a little bit of butter, a little bit of, you know, the seasonings, if you have the same seasonings of, you know, around, and just kind of baste your turkey. But just let it run with those apples and the onions stuffed inside the turkey. Smoke it until it reaches the temp. You know, you want your temp to be about 170, 175. Pull it out, and it's the best thing you've ever had. It's fantastic.
That sounds good. That sounds really good. So your target temp in about 170, 175. And your dry rub sounds really, really provincial.
It complements poultry and the holiday season.
Yes, 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 yes. The rosemary, I love the rosemary. I don't want to call it a rosemary plant because it is actually a rosemary bush. I mean, it's huge. And I mean, you can get skewers off that. I can trim limbs and smoke with it. I'm telling you, it's a bush. But rosemary, the oils, the fragrance that rosemary kicks off is just dynamite.
Yeah.
The sage.
Well, if it's fresh, you might want to reduce it some. And grind it up well. I take my same rosemary. I get the, you know, the whole sprig, and I grind them up. You know, I really do. I mean, because if it's whole sprig or if it's just even the pieces that come off of it, it doesn't do it justice. You got to grind them up, you know, to get spread around very good.
Right.
And of course, the apple and onion, and absolutely, and inside the cavity. You know, you've got your apple, you've got your, you know, your onion. I even put some of that same rub inside, you know, the smoke and the steam. And if you've got it in that pan with, you know, some of that broth going on, it's going to steam up. It's going to keep that, you know, the meat tender, and it just falls apart. It's just, I don't know, it's sex in an aluminum pan. I don't know how to say it any better.
Yeah. And you keep yours breast side up or down? How do you cook your?
That's a controversy in this cookbook. To the way I do it is they tell you to put the breast side down and smoke it for about an hour and a half, which that's
right.
Okay. But I put mine straight side up and I just cook it. You know, once I see the color that I like, you know, I might. You know, wrap it in foil, but usually at a 5-hour cook time at like 275, it just browns the way I want. You know, so I don't even, you know, wrap it or cover it or anything. But it's one of those things where, you know, I just look for the color.
Well, on my pit, I'm going to have approximately, I would say, 40 to 50 on my big pit. And when you've got all that many cold birds, it's hard to bring that pit up to about 250. Oh, she's going to roll. And I mean, that's rolling until all those birds come to temp. But I'm going to brine mine this year. I'm going to brine mine in an apple, cranberry, salt, sugar brine. And I'm going to brine my birds first. And I always do the onion. And I've got a good poultry combination, very similar to what you're talking about right here. And I like to stick onion and butter in the cavity of my birds. And I smoke them. I just smoke them slow. I mean, it usually takes, you're smoking yours 4 to 5 hours, but my pit won't come up to 275. I'm going to smoke mine about 8. Is basically
that
where
I'm sounds about right. If it's a big pit and a lot of meat.
Yeah. I'm going to smoke mine about 8, and it'll be golden brown. And they'll be ready. They'll be perfect to pull off. They'll have a good color to them. They'll be tender. They'll be juicy. The breast will be moist. But then here's the kicker. And, you know, when we talk wrap, you know what you do when you wrap one? You steam the damn thing, and it kills the exterior skin. but it does
gotta get
more
color right before you do it.
Yeah, that's for sure. And we'll have to, and I'll wrap mine and have them on hold, you know, for everybody to come pick up. But that's, we're very similar in techniques right there. Anybody else got any, got their two cents they want to throw in on this pipe? They got quiet.
They got all the pen handy.
lots of butter.
Yeah.
All right, Chris. Butterwork. Got to bake them.
You know what I appreciate about your show? Is that you are not afraid to shake, my friend. I like that.
Oh, mercy. Telling you. Gentlemen.
I tell you how we're going to do ours this year.
Let's hear it,
Well, the idea came from just chatting back and forth with David Bosca, Butcher Barbecue.
Uh-huh.
And he was telling me how much more moisture if you – and now he's pushing the you know, his little – his bird injection or whatever.
Right.
But he's done some – you know, he's done a bunch of tests to you know, produce this product. He was telling me how much more an injection retains this moisture than just a brine. So I'm going to brine it. But then, you know, I'm going to brine it overnight, you know, and something that's not going to hurt it. And then I'm going to inject it.
Well, that's all right.
Because I think the injection is like your insurance. And I'm talking like a Creole butter or maybe like a clarified butter with, like you like your rosemary. Man, I'm telling you, I'll show you my little rosemary. It's you know, it's enormous, you know. Chop that thing up fine. You know, pull your rosemary leaves off your, you know, stem and, you know, do it in the coffee grinder or whatever. Just take a knife to it. Inject that thing with some Creole butter. Rub it after I pat it dry. That's another thing, is if you can just let the, even if you just take some paper towels to the outside of the bird, you know, after you brine it, after you inject it, and start that skin kind of dry, and then after that, man, just the temperature in this, you know, it's kind of just a, you know, go back to, you know, competition chicken cooking is, 300 plus when I'm cooking bird, you know?
It
gets too dark. I'm going to cook in the pan because I want gravy, but I'm going to cook in that pan, and I'm going to wrap it if it gets too dark. If it doesn't, I'm just going to let it roll.
Right.
Color.
Well, you know, really, the darkness is just the smoke of the, you know, it's just the smoke. You're not, it's not going to hurt the skin if it's dark. It's not charred. We've got one more caller. Let me get him queued in. He just popped up here. I just refreshed my board, and he's been patiently holding. Let's see if I can get him queued in. Well, it doesn't look like it. But I tell you one, let me refresh this board again. Some of the best turkey that I've ever had. Now this takes a little more prep time. Smoke that bird, and once it comes out and it's smoked, take it and drop it in a deep fryer and finish it off.
Yep.
Just crisp it up in a deep fryer. A smoked fried bird. And some people really enjoy that. Let me see if I can cue this caller in right here. Been patiently waiting. Caller 706-306, you're live with us. Who have we got?
It's Jim Bird.
Jim Bird. Welcome, brother. Yes, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How y'all doing?
Man, we're just talking turkey right now, just shooting a little sugar and having a good time. I just refreshed
sounds
my...
Like, sounds like y'all are cannibals.
I'm telling you.
Turkey's talking turkey.
You got it, brother. I'm telling you. Guys, this Jim Bird right here, he has been hot all year. He has been slamming them grand championships down. Jim, just proud of you, proud for you. It was great to meet you at the Jack Daniels, too. It sure was.
Appreciate it, Chris. Yeah, it's finally good to meet you. We don't we don't venture out in the Midwest very often. Actually, you know, Bentonville was the first time. And then, of course, you know, we went to Lynchburg right after that. But, you know, I have a lot of people on my show on Monday nights. It's good to have put a face with a name, you know, with a voice, and go out and meet people between the Sam's Club and the Jack. I think I met just about everybody I've had on the show.
Man, that's awesome. That is awesome. You know, that's just what it's all about. We always preach that, you know, the barbecue community, the barbecue family. Once you meet them and you get hooked up with them, I mean, it's just from there on out, it's just it's good to see them every time you can see them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we went out to Bentonville, and, you know, I had Tim Grant on the show about 3 or 4 times from True Bud. And told him I'd meet him out there, and, of course, you know, we got out there. As soon as I walked up, he knew who I was, and, yeah, I knew who he was, but he was out in front of his trailer. But we got to talking and everything, you know, Saturday morning about 30 minutes before chicken turn-in, about 11:15, 11:20, he came all the way over to the site and wished us good luck. We'd gone by earlier, and his trailer was, you know, kind of on lockdown, so we didn't want to bother him. But he came over there and wished us good luck, and then afterwards, he was one of the first persons to congratulate us. Then I get to Jack, realize he's right next. I got him on one side and Swamp Boys on the other.
So, man, I'm telling you.
Woo! I was in a rough neighborhood.
That was a sweet spot, I'm telling you. You were.
Yeah,
we got on the other side of Swamp Boys. Shit.
Yeah, rough's a really good friend of ours.
How was your experience with the Jack? I have to interject. You got to go, so yeah, there's a lot of listeners. But what was your experience going to the Jack?
Well, I mean, it was, you know, from our standpoint, we've done so many in a row. We just finished our 31st this past weekend, took another grand champion. Moved us up in the third in the country in points, and moved us up to 6th in ribs, 14th in chicken, 12th in pork, and I think 21st in brisket. And we went there. We were in the middle. We were winding down after coming back from Bentonville on pretty much about as high as you can get. You know, we got to Jack. It was kind of like when you get there, it's kind of the same setup as a normal competition. You know, you're getting all your stuff set up. To me, it was a lot more like a normal competition. You knew all the hoopla was around the corner and stuff. And, you know, we, of course, we went to Jack Daniel's store and all that stuff. And, you know, got all the teams to sign our plaque, which is now hanging in one of my sponsors' restaurant, which he had no idea I was doing that for him. And the man almost cried when I gave it to him.
That sounds great.
But, you know, it was the awards were over the top. I mean, they were just awesome, the MC and everything. And, you know, the distillery was great up on Barbecue Hill. The only thing about Barbecue Hill was, you know, I'm a low and slow guy, so I get my stuff started at 9. And, you know, we weren't able to stay up there very long, you know, kind of hang out with a lot of the other teams and stuff. But, you know, I cooked against 3 Eyes 4 or 5 times this year. And, you know, several teams that were there, we cooked against Cyril Grillis. Mark Breen's a good friend of mine. We had some good friends there, Donnie Bray, and so, you know, to me, as far as the cook, it was pretty much the normal thing. During turn-in, you know, we did all the ancillaries, and my wife did dessert and cook's choice, and then, of course, we did the 4 meats, and I think cook's choice was, dessert was last. So we had cook's choice, then we had soft and cook's choice, then we had to go into our stuff. Something like that, anyway.
What was your turn-in for cook's choice?
Cook's choice was a seafood au gratin. And people don't know that. It's kind of it had crab and shrimp and scallops. And it's kind of in a creamy, herby type of sauce. And then it's got, you know, of course, Parmesan cheese and stuff. It's almost got like almost a thick Alfredo sauce. And then we put that in ramekins, and we put fresh breadcrumbs on top and cooked it in I took my Memphis pellet smoker with us. I cooked on a Southern Cube. But we took that just for the oven aspect of it. And
right.
turned out great. I mean, she made the you got to make a roux and all sorts of stuff. I mean, it's a process. But yeah, we really
absolutely
liked it, and after it sat overnight, it actually got better because it kind of thickened up a little bit. And I remember me and Waylon went back to go pick up the trays after everything was said and done. There was seven ramekins on there, and four of them were ate down to the bottom. Like, I think if they had some cornbread, they'd sop it up. So
we were hoping
that was the same judge that ate it all, because we did. I said, we're in good shape. And, of course, at awards, we got a first and cook choice. My wife's actually a world champion. And then turn around and get to a perfect 180 in dessert and first, another world champion. And then we ended up with 10th and soft and a 4th and chicken. And we finished 8th overall over there. But
how'd that work on the homestead? You know, when she got a call for that
category,
how does that work?
Here's the thing, guys, is, you know, she's a world champion two times over. I'm a national champion. I'll take my check over those two any day. Her weekend compared to my weekend, I only beat her by 50 grand. So, you know, I'll take my weekend any day. But it's she's been pretty reserved about it stuff. We've got a small sandwich shop. She's got the trophy and the ribbons down there, and you know, we can't in our house, we can't physically have too many trophies around here. So I've got two sponsors. I've got a grill sponsor, who was one of my first ones, and a buddy of mine opened a barbecue restaurant. He's my other one. And he told me at the beginning of the year that he wanted, you know, my grill sponsor moving next door, so he didn't really want me to bring any more down there until he got moved. So I told him I'll just bring them to Bo up at Big Daddy's Bar and Grill. And he said, bring them all. I said, all right, be careful what you wish for. Well, I think this year we have 134 trophies so far.
Really?
And ribbons. And about 2 months ago, he cut me off. Said, I ain't got room for this. I said, better build some more shelves, is all I got to say. So, but he's got that national championship trophy sitting right there at the front door when you walk in. And he's a really great guy. I mean, he's been helping us out. And I cook barbecue. I cook the pulled pork for him. And people love it. It's really increased his sales. And you know, us being part of that, we've had a couple newspaper articles on us around here. And, you know, Sam's is really starting to, they're supposed to do a Sam's Day over here at our local Sam's Club. And so really looking forward to promoting his business and our business. You know, they're about 20 miles apart, so they don't interfere with one another. But,
right.
Yeah, we just had an awesome year. We, you know, moving, trying to keep up with the Joneses, but, you know, like I said, you know, Tim from True Bud and Rub, I mean, you couldn't ask for two finer guys. I think Rub was happy I won the national championship, but if he won it. You know, the big thing was, you know, the Midwestern teams have been kicking our tails every year.
Right.
And it kind of opened up a little floodgate when we did that, because guys that went out west did very well out west. A lot of Florida teams did really good out there this year. And, you know, they said, well, it was a win for Georgia. I said, well, it kind of a win for the Southeast. And then I talked to Dan.
Yeah.
He said, well, it's kind of a – then Dan from 3i said, no, it's kind of a win for the East. So he said, because, you know, we – you know, some teams have gotten close, but nobody's ever completed the deal. And for us to do that, I mean, we did not have an exceptional cook over there. We had a decent cook at the Sam's Club, but, you know, it we've been consistent all year.
Sam's Club is a tough gig. You can pull out the most perfect product you think, and it's I don't know, it's crazy. I mean, it's just the way the judging goes and everything. It can be totally different. It's a crazy gig.
Well, you know, we had a big stir up in our regional. We had a table that was lowballed everybody. I mean, took a lot of good teams out of, I mean, my table of pork, Rub won the table of pork, and he was 24th, and I was 28th. And we had two other teams, Jeremy Moyer, who's been hammering four. He just got first up at the barbecue cup up in Cummins out of, you know, 70-something teams. He was 29th. I mean, it's, and these judges, other than probably three teams out of all the 24 that they judged, were 20th or worse. And, you know, they had a judge on, you know, the one of the guys' Facebook things was defending himself. And I said, there's no way you can tell me that out of all those great teams that was in that regional, which was one of the strongest regionals you could ever have, that you didn't like anybody's food.
Yeah,
it ain't the cook's, but it ain't the cook's buddy. I can tell you that right now. It's not the cook's. And
yeah,
we survived with seventh place out there, but, you know, that was with the 28th. I had a fourth, a fifth, and a sixth. So,
oh,
you know, I really expect to
We feel your pain as the
But, you know, we survived
did,
that.
I think it was the cook we did, shit, it was last year. It was an NBM, yeah, it was an NBM cook. And even back, I think we entered in a challenger event. And even, you know, the challengers came around looking at us. It was cheap. We were, you know, doing what we're doing. But they were looking around doing, seeing what we were doing, like, wow, this is awesome, man. We've learned a lot. And we came in dead last. And, like,
other teams
that were, like, backyard barbecuers were, like, in the top 10. And we were like, what? How does this work? And
Kraft and Sweet Baby Ray's.
there you go.
Sweet Baby Ray.
We were like, how do you do this?
Yeah, but, I mean, it's a lot about the judging and that sort of thing. And we were like, We're competing against, you know, and the cook before that, we beat out teams like Sweet Swine of Mine, which was a M winner, you know, last year. It's crazy. So, I mean, we do it because we love it. You know, it's a great time, and, you know, it's a,
that's
what can you
do? That's why we all do. Well, we all love what we do, and we love to cook. I mean, you know, that's why we do it. We take a hammering and beating and come back for more. You know, one cook, we're on top of the world. The next cook, they're killing us. I mean, and them judges. And I remember that, Jim, that one judge, that table just killed all the cooks.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's right, Jeremy Warrior.
It was five judges on that table. There's only one decent judge on that table. And there was five other ones that were like, oh, my God, did they, you know, you start to wonder, did you just come down there to sabotage it or what? Because, you know, Tori didn't have any control over that. And, you know, my wife was the one that caught it when we got our score sheet. And she saw where we were at. She started looking at it. She goes, oh, Rub won the table at 24th place out of 30. And I said, really?
Yeah.
And we started looking through all the categories and stuff. And most everybody that landed on that table did not do worth a crap. Now, there was three of us that land, four of us that landed on that table, made it through. Me, Rub, Scott, and Rick Pesh from Southern Thunder. You know, the winner did not land on that table.
Right.
And, you know, for me to have a fourth, a fifth, a sixth, and then a 28th, nah. That's, you know, we don't do that in the competition. We're pretty consistent. I mean, I'm not, you know, we don't win a whole lot of firsts. We have been reeling off a few in chicken. Which is the main reason why I called in, but, you know, we have our fair share, but we're just not like a chicken team or a pork team or anything like that. We try to keep everything pretty consistent from one week to the next. But, you know, we survived and went out there. Like I said, we had a good cook, and like I said, it wasn't nothing great, but, you know, we go into awards, and, you know, we got a fifth in chicken, and we're like, well, didn't really know if we liked the chicken or not. Like when we get in that little area of where we don't, I mean, it's juicy and everything, but where we don't know about the flavor, we usually do pretty good.
Right.
We got a fifth.
Right.
And then we come to ribs and we don't get a call, and we had some phenomenal ribs. I mean, they were just,
right.
I couldn't cook them any better than that. Haven't cooked them any better than that. And then we don't get a call, and then pork, we got an eighth, and then brisket, which we had overcooked our brisket, and I was trying to get it tightened up. We got fifth in that. And that was a shock. And, yeah, you know, we go back, sit down at the chairs, and we had smoked this, had Dennis and Scott Tilden right behind us, and Jan turns around. I said, Jan, baby, that's three calls. She goes, it is. She goes, how many other, everybody else has? And they're all like, two. And it started really starting to hit her.
Yeah.
And I said,
yeah.
I think you got this. She goes,
And sometimes it's crazy. I mean, you know you've got a product that's like, all right, you know, I know I messed up, I didn't do well, I didn't do this.
Right.
But when you turn the product and you're like, okay, this is awesome, and it's like placed really, really bad, but you're screwed up chicken that you're like, oh, we burned it, oh, we didn't do well, and it placed in the top 10, and you're like, what?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's the crazy part of what we do, you know, and
that's
it's
a given.
I don't know how the entire judging process goes, but it's like even we know as good food connoisseurs that we're like, oh, I cooked a perfect product, or I don't know, I mean, you know, this isn't great, but we've got to turn it in. And
right.
You turn in something that you know that's, okay, this is crappy, and you're in the top 3. You know, and then the thing that you turned in that you're like, man, this is the greatest thing we've ever cooked, and it's like dead last.
Yeah,
what?
Last.
How does this work?
Yeah.
You know?
That's how it
well,
works.
It's a crazy world.
Well, we finished 11th in Riz, so I was pretty happy.
Yeah.
You know?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're like a 1/100th point out of 10th place, but it was just to be up against those caliber of teams that were out there. And, you know, get over a 700 at the cook was just icing on the cake.
Right.
And, you know, and then, well, since then, you know, they said, well, you know, had Tippecanoe and some of the other teams come up and ask, well, we're trying to see if Killer Bees was for real. And I said, what do you think? He goes, you're for real? You kicked our butt. And they said, just stay on that side of the river. We'll be all right. So, I mean, to get something like that from those guys, I mean, you know, because Georgia and the Southeast got some really good teams. It's just you get to the big ones and don't know what happens. But, you know, everybody's, you know, around here is just, you know, we've been inundated by all the, you know, the good wishes and everything. And we just, like I said, we just won our 10th grand championship this year, our 9th KCDS, and put us up into a really good spot. So, you know, we're taking it. In stride, we're heading to Cancun, Mexico tomorrow, and for a week, and we're going with another team, Midnight Burn, that we met out. That's the whole thing about, you know, you interact with other teams and stuff outside.
Yeah.
Jeremy Moyer from Moyer's Barbecue Competition just won National Barbecue.
Uh-huh.
He called me up. He was asking me about the Southern Q up in the Rome contest, and I told him, and he actually picked it up Monday or Tuesday, and he called me Tuesday in one of my timelines. Because, you know, he was cooking on the Jambo, and he wanted to slow it down and get sleep and all this other stuff. So
right.
I gave him my timelines and temps. I didn't know he was going to go up there and win the damn thing, but he went up there and won it. And he put a big long post out there about thanking me for doing all that stuff. And I said, well, you're too good of a listener. So I'll tell you nothing anymore. I really wanted you to forget about a third of that and just get you going. But I said, you know, he said, I did exactly what you told me. And he said, dude, it came out great. And he could be more happy. Jeremy's just a great guy. And
he is. He really is.
And you know, he's just fun to be around. And, you know, the whole crowd is. I mean, you know, we got Calhoun in 3 weeks, 2.5 weeks, whatever. And that's our last one of the year. And hopefully nobody can catch me in third spot. I think we're far enough ahead where nobody can catch us. But I'm just looking forward to, you know, I got that monkey off my back and, you know, just go up there and cook and have a good time for the last one of the season. So, we're enjoying it. But, you know, we get back, y'all were talking about grinding and injecting. And you talked about David's product. David sponsors me. And a big part of the reason why we started doing better in chicken was I tweaked something that, you know, one of his injections. And if you mix a couple of them together, it really comes out with a really good flavor. I can tell you which ones to mix and how much, but the experiment of mixing them, that's what I did. You know, as I go through the year, you know, you got to kind of continuously tweak your recipe just a little bit here or there, you know, because it'll hit 3 or 4 times and it'll start fading off, so you need to try to find, without going too far, which way the judges are going. And
you've been intrigued
this year. So,
you've been intrigued us. I'm sorry to interject, but the butter injection to the breast. Tell us about that. You don't have to go into extra special, top secret.
Let me interject here. I know a lot of people. I know I've tried this a few times before turning in a good hot Creole butter injection. That usually works fairly well. I like that.
I'm afraid that might change the consistency of the chicken a little bit.
In turkey,
that's fine. But some people inject with warm or almost hot butter into the meat, you know, right when they get ready to glaze it.
Right.
And try to get an extra juice in it. And I'm thinking, well, you know, you pump that thing that full of butter or even a
different
type of injection, you're going to change it. Yeah, it's going to change the texture. It's going to change the flavor of it. You know, the judges are looking more towards a natural flavor chicken and not too spicy, not too sweet, and, just have a good all-around flavor. Like I said, we tweaked our method a little bit and did that, and I think we've gotten a third out of 75. We've gotten a first out of 25. We got fourth at the Jack, fifth at Bentonville, and we reeled off two more first in chicken. One was in the 75 field, and last week it was 35. Back-to-back two firsts in chicken. Now, the chicken I had this past Saturday was phenomenal. It's the first time that I really, really liked the product other than the Jack. And I told Jan, I said, if judges don't give me first on this, I said, I'm going to quit. I said, that was just phenomenal chicken. And we got first in chicken. So I was real happy with that. And that's the score that kind of propelled us to the GC this week. But
right.
Another thing a lot of people don't know about us, too, is, you know, we've done 31, 32 contests this year, and we've done three different sanctioning bodies, four, actually. We've done GBA, SCBA, we've been SBN and KCBS, and we have not finished out of the top 10 overall in any of them.
Really?
And that's going
up.
Yeah,
awesome.
You know, we had 98 teams in Tryon. You know, we had 50 up here in Evans. You know, 40-something in Gainesville. I mean, these are not small contests. 75 in Lexington, I think. 55 in Kings Mountain. I mean, these are just some really good pit masters. But it shows you don't have to be a one-meet team. You know, you just got to be consistent on the meet to take care of them all of, you know, the same pretty much. But David's got some good products. If you're going to do a turkey, I like that, the herb injection he's got. You know, because y'all talk about rosemary and everything in it. It's pretty good It's pretty good on turkey. I'll give him that much. We practiced with a lot this off season before this year started. So it's taken me a little while to get going on my chicken.
Right.
We've had some good calls. I mean, even beginning of the year, we had a second in Waynesboro, and then we come back with a tied for first up here in Evan. You know, the chicken's been up and down a little bit, but hopefully we got it leveled out by me doing a few other things. But it's just good, you know. We love going out to the barbecue family. It's a great family. And I don't know if you saw on Facebook, but Barry Johnson is actually making pizzas now.
Yeah, I've seen that too. Yeah, he's cooking, making his dough, and, yeah, he posted a picture of that finished pizza not long ago.
Well, he got the dough. Is actually something Wayne and Kim used in their pizza restaurant up in Hendersonville, North Carolina, called the Flat Rock Wood Room.
Uh-huh.
If you're ever around Ashby, you need to look them up. Best pizzas around. We helped them cook pizzas at an ancillary up there in Shelby, and they took first in pizza. And
really?
It's just a real good light crust. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, the flour actually comes from Italy. And
really?
Wayne told Barry where he could get it at. So Barry's been, you know, we fed Barry a good little bit of pizza because we did like six of them up there. And he loved it so much he had to beat Wayne up to get the recipe and stuff. But, that crust is phenomenal. It is. And they were in Atlanta checking out another competitor today, I saw. So they've been wanting to go there because a lot of their customers said, oh, this is just like so-and-so. They said, well, we've got to go down there and check that out.
Right.
So, but, yeah, they're great people, too. I mean, we really have met, I mean, we probably met really one bad apple the whole time.
And, it was me.
It was you?
I don't know if it was me, but it sounds like I'm the portrait.
Oh,
nah,
no,
Adam, you
were
right.
It wasn't you. We all know who it is, but, you know, just calls a lot of you. I know Chris knows who he is. But,
hey,
but anyway.
Target already.
Yep.
Man, I tell you.
But, you know,
I tell you.
Ever since the drama's gone, everything's just been really good this year. Everybody's had a good time. You know, we do all of our, I know everybody does their, you know, potluck dinners and stuff. You know, I'm just, you know, I'm looking forward to this vacation. We just came off, we had one break in there, but we came off of nine in a row. And so we're looking forward to a little downtime right now.
Shoot, yeah.
Holidays coming and one more cook and then that's it for the year and to the banquet we go. So
there you go. And that's in Nashville this year, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah,
in Nashville.
Yeah.
All the rooms that hotel they're having it in is full, but you can stay over at Opryland for a measly price of about $300 a night.
Sure,
or you can stay next door, stay in the Fiddler's Inn for $105.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I want to tell you something about that Opryland Hotel. You will walk your ass off. I mean,
yeah.
That place is so huge.
Well, see, that's what my wife's worried about me down in Cancun about walking because I screwed my knee up at the jack. I stepped on my step come out of the trailer wrong and popped it. And it's been sore as shit ever since then.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I can walk a little ways and it starts hurting and it'll throb at night and all that fun stuff. But, you know, I told her, I said, well, almost. Somebody asked me, are we barbecuing this week? And I said, yeah, I'm going to be roasting my big butt out there on the thing with some margarita in my hand.
There you go. That's the way to roll right there now. That's
the
way.
The only turkey I'll be
rubbing. That's the only turkey you're going to be rubbing your own, huh?
Yeah, that's the only turkey I'm going to be
rubbing. Are you going to go to, are you going to try to do the Tupelo cook this year?
You know,
Tupelo, Mississippi?
That's about 6 hours for me. So I'm right I'm in Augusta. I'm right here by the duck. I'm 2 miles from South Carolina.
Right down
I-20. I'm right in between Atlanta and Columbia. But we're right at the South Carolina line.
Okay.
And Tupelo may be, what weekend is that? That's in March.
Second weekend in March.
I think that's going to be a little far of a stretch.
They've
got one down in Bainbridge, Georgia that's like 4 hours from the house. I told Robbie Royal I'd do his Firelight Festival this year. I hadn't been able to do it the last couple of years because of my SBN cook-off, big one for that at that same time, and we just won SBN Team of the Year for the second year in a row. So I'm handing the reins over to Qology or whoever else wants to take it over. They're going to be glad to see me go. And, but, you know, I'm not going to do anymore, but I'm not going to travel to do them. You know, we only have to do like 4 or 5. And I had it locked up after the first 5 because I swept 3 of them. And then I got reserved the other 2. And so, you know, nobody could catch me. They'd have to sweep everything.
Right.
That wasn't going to happen. So, but, you know, we're going to concentrate a little bit more on KCBS this year. I think we've done like 26 KCBS. Most teams that are in front of us, all the teams in front of us have done, you know, upwards around 40. So, for where we're at in points is pretty phenomenal on how many cooks we've done.
Right.
You know, in the realm of things, it's not that many cooks. So, you know, in GBC, the Georgia Barbecue Championship Series, we're third in chicken, third in ribs, third in pork, and like 10th in brisket, third overall. And you have to do a minimum of 5. Most everybody else has done 10 to 12. We've done 6.
Right.
So we've got one more to go. So hopefully I can move that. And, I mean, I'm not out of some of these I'm not out of first place, but by maybe a couple points. So, you know, we're looking at, you know, hopefully doing well in one or two of the categories to move back up. But it is what it is. You know, we're not chasing GBC points. We really weren't chasing KCBS points until we reeled all three in a row. And Jeff from Wichita, one of my other sponsors, said, you know, he's got a full-time job like I do outside of barbecue. And he said, you know, if I did that, the points that you're at now, he said I'd have to at least try to make a run for KCBS. So we did. We added a few more. Nothing great, but it's been worth a while.
I was going to ask you, when do you find time to work? I mean, cooking all the time, staying on the road. You know what? It's a hard job to competition cook. And, I mean, you've got to have the love of the game to do it. And it, you know,
well,
you know. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. It's
well, a big
tough.
Part of it. Well, a big part of it is my wife's able to travel. You know, she's got four girls down at the sandwich shop that have been almost begging me, look, take Jan with you. We got this, all this other stuff. So finally I told them, you got to kick them out of the nest, you know. They're doing this,
yeah. You
know, for 9-10 years. It's time to kick them out of the nest and let them handle it. Well, now they do better when she's not there than when she's there. I mean, it just happens to be that way, but now she goes in for about 2 hours, 2.5 hours, and she leaves. It's like she just supplies them, gets them going, and she leaves every day now.
Right.
And I was down there fixing something down there at the shop, and I asked them how they liked it, and they said, oh, we love it. and, you know, as long as they do good, you know, she's fine with that, and they know that. And, you know, they've all taken a realm of their own jobs that they have to do, and that's what they're good at, and that's what they do. My guys, I've had three of them for 10 years, so they know what to do. I get them a job. Usually, you know, we're leaving out on Thursday afternoon, so the only day we're really missing is Friday. Usually Friday is a finish-up day or a maintenance day or something like that. It's on a landscape company.
Right.
So I try not to put too many heavy things on the guys. You know, I want them to kind of stay in their realm, so to speak, of the work. And they've stepped up. Tony, my foreman, used to cook with me until I went to Southern Q Smokers, and I didn't need anybody to go with me.
Right.
But it's really good to have Jan there. You know, a big part of our success this year was Jan being there, you know, help run the boxes and help, you know, finish them. And really, the truth, the best thing she does is she tastes the ribs and chicken and stuff. So, she doesn't taste the brisket, but she'll do it. And that's a big part. I mean, I couldn't have done it without her. You know, it's not an I, it's a we. So
right.
we're fixing to spend a little bit of that Sam's Club money. We're gonna get us a toy hauler, and not a cheap one. But you know, mom ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. So she wants to have her little bit of luxury, and you know, I want to have my spot to cook in. And this is how we can, you know, meet both worlds. You know, the trailer we've got is gonna be for sale, but it's just a little tight for us in there. And you know, we just want to go a little bit more in comfort. Stuff and we may
you.
With a different trailer we may move a little bit further out, and you know, we'll have more options that way. But
right,
you know, if we could duplicate what we did this year was just absolutely phenomenal. And you know, we picked up great sponsors with Springer Mountain Farms, like the Big Daddies, and of course Southern Q Smokers has been on board for a year and a half now, and David from Butcher, and Jeff from Wiki-Q, and just this whole conglomeration of different sponsors and stuff, and it's really kind of gelled and figured out a few things this year. And, you know, practice makes perfect. So I think we got a lot of practice in, you know, the cooks we did crappy in. But, you know, we're very pleased where we're at and didn't think we'd make it here in 10 years. We set a three-year goal. We wanted to win Waynesboro, we wanted to win Evans, and then we wanted to go to the Jack. Definitely the Sam's Club was on our minds, but, you know, winning it was, you know, we just thought it was just unreachable for us. But,
right,
you know, we came,
right.
It's like Scott from Southern Keys said.
I want to go to Jack.
You're hitting your prime right now. So.
Right.
The Jack
right,
was fun,
right.
Don't get me wrong. You know, here's the mindset with the Jack. And, you know, this is only our third year competing professionally. The deal with the Jack was, you know, we went through the fall, you know, we got some good, you know, second, third, fourth place finishes and stuff. And, you know, we won Lions last year, which Jan was always there. She'd always show up when I won Reserve Grand, never when I won a Grand. So her nickname for a while was Reserve Grand Jan. Well, when we won Lions last year and she was there, she started becoming Grand Jan. So now, and Jeremy's funny because Jeremy's like, you bringing Grand Jan? I'm gonna let. I said, yep. He goes, damn it. So she has to work. So it's kind of funny that they say that. But, you know, you got to look at the Jack from, like, right after, in the beginning of September. And we never looked at it that way until this year. And we're like, well, you know, the Jack starts now, not January. And so we just kind of kept our heads down and kept going. You know, we missed winning Grand and Shelby by a point and a half. And we just kind of went through the motions on that. We weren't super excited about the Cook. We weren't, you know, I don't think we were 100% focused on it because we were so tired from traveling, you know, which is unlike us to travel that far anyway.
Right.
And, you know, we were winding down. It was like ninth one in a row, and we're like, you know, we just need to get this one over with. And, you know, we got a Reserve Grand up there. We got a first place in Chicken and kind of got us in Reserve Grand and another third place in Pork. I've been there 3 years, got third place in Pork all 3 years. So I don't know what to do to get in the first, but I can get in the third, I can tell you that.
Well, that's consistency. That's what does it. I mean, you know, that's what gets them grands.
Well, that's what I tell people. I say, you know, you get one really good call and make some money, or you can get, you know, four decent calls and make the real money.
Well, you know,
but, you know,
I was at a comp.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I was at a comp, and it was a comp, and they were only calling first and second place, okay, in all four categories, and I didn't get a damn call. And the grand champion prize was a brand-new riding lawnmower. And they called first and second. When they called out the grand champion, and they called they called Hall County, and they everybody just shit because they said, well, how'd they win that? They didn't even get a call. But we won the grand championship, never got a call. And and that's unusual, you know, first and second. You know, most places you call three places anyhow. And we did. We won that grand championship prize. You know, you just never
know. Where's that
riding
lawnmower? Where's that mower now?
That mower is, well, I just used it this morning, matter of fact, to cut up leaves.
There you go. We were in Lincoln, North Carolina, was about the same way. They called out top five. And we had a fifth place Chicken, I believe. And I think that was it. And so we're listening, you know, Fatback's had two or three calls, Redneck Scientific had two high calls, and, you know, Blue Bloods had a call, had two calls, and they're going down the line, and, you know, they're just going to call out Grand and Reserve. And so to get Reserve Grand, they call us out for Reserve Grand, and me and David look at one, and I'm like, well, how the hell did that happen? We got a score sheet. We had a sixth and a seventh, and a felt like two sixes and an eighth, I think. Other than that one call.
That's
how we got reserved. We're like, all right, you know, call that top 10, we can understand it better. But
that makes it even,
you know,
sweeter when that happens.
Yeah, and then, like, you know, Salisbury and Kings and Salisbury and Kings Mountain and Shelby all did this. They called out, you know, 10th through 2nd. And we got through, we had our third place in Fork. And, you know, my thing then, Jan goes, well, I don't think we did very well. I said, well, I just want to keep our top 10 streak going. You know, that's all we can hope
right.
for. They called out third place was Tenacious Q. Well, they started calling them all down from 10th place. They got third place Tenacious Q. I'm like, damn, I don't even think we made the top 10.
Right.
You know, I was getting really worried. And then they called us out for reserve, and we're looking around like, what? We did. And we had a first in Chicken. So,
wow.
You know, and then when they got the Rocky Top for Grand, he had one, had two decent calls, but he had like a 11th and a 14th in his other two meets. And, you know, he came out of nowhere. And
yeah,
me and Walt are real good buddies. We've been butting heads all year. But But, you know, but they did that. Now up in Salisbury with a 75 team, you know, two of them in a grill, Bob, he's done this before in Kings Mountain where he didn't get a call. Now all of a sudden he gets a first in chicken, first in ribs, and a first in brisket, you know, 701
wow.
and blah, blah, blah. And so we're sitting there at Salisbury and we got a third in chicken. We're looking at each other like, damn, what the hell happened? Because there again,
yeah.
we just weren't really impressed with the chicken. And then we had a, what else did we have? We didn't get a call in any of the other ones. And I'm like, well, it's going to be a tough field, so they start calling out first. And they got first and ribs. We got first and ribs. I'm like, son of a Buick. I knew they were good, but I didn't think they were first out of this crowd. Then we
right.
didn't get a call.
And how does that work? You know, it's unusual. You know, you taste a product, and it's like, what? Okay,
yep.
and then you turn it in, and it's like, wow, oh, my God, they are first.
Yeah.
Well,
see, I don't think
goes,
I can duplicate
know.
That because we didn't really
yeah.
care for the flavor, so it's kind of hard to duplicate it. And then we got a first of brisket, and we ended up with a 705, almost a 706.
Man, that's crazy.
And, but we were looking back at Bob the whole time. So, you know, we all have a flashback to Kings Mountain, you know, where he's just sitting back there just grinning. And,
yeah,
So,
it never fails. This is, you know, this just goes again. This just time and time and time and time again. And we'll say it until we're done cooking. And, I mean, until the fire's out. When, you know, we go and we have a good cook and we think it is spot on the best stuff we've ever cooked, we won't get a sniff, a whiff, or even a chance of a call. And then when we think it's okay or not that good, or we're not going to get a call, that's when we start walking. And I don't know, I can't
yep.
explain it. Jeremy Moyers had a cook here a while back, and he said, well, I didn't do too good. I said, Jeremy, I said, the bottom line is you think you didn't do good, you know how it always works. You're going to wind up walking and getting some calls. And he did. And I met him in Tupelo, and I like Jeremy. He's a fine fellow. We had a good time
yeah.
together. But
yeah, he's a great guy. He loves to have fun. He loves barbecue, and him and his wife are just good as gold. And
yeah,
a lot
yeah.
of fun to be around. A lot of fun
yeah,
to be around.
It's good. It's fun to be around good people. Bottom line, you know.
Yeah, it is.
And that's what it's about. Man, I tell you what, it's been a wonderful show. And Jim, it's been an honor to have you call in, brother.
I appreciate it.
We run over a minute or two, about 43 of them, but it's all right. That's what it's all about. We just have a good time when we get on, and when we get on a roll, we can't stop. I mean, that's just how it works. But
yep.
I've got homework calling with my daughter, and we'll have to do this again.
All right.
I just,
look forward to it.
I'm going to have to call in and just shoot the bull with you a little bit on your show on Monday night. Jim's got the Monday night show. I usually give a shout-out to all the show hosts ever show, but we got started, and I hadn't really done a lot of that tonight. But, have a great vacation. Enjoy yourself, and don't worry about it until you get back. And then you got that big cook coming up. Wish you the very best on that. And Adam. Adam, that was Adam from, he's an MVN team, Two Sauce Deport. They do the Memphis in May. And
right.
had Adam on, and they've got a huge team, and a big, big booth there at Memphis in May. And a bunch of great guys. I mean, they just got a bunch of great guys on that Two Sauce Deport team there in Memphis. And we still got Blake Moody in the house out of Florida. Tortoise Q. Blakester, you still with us, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm here, man.
Yeah, he's been cooking it up. We've been talking. But it's been a pleasure and honor to have y'all on the show tonight. I sure greatly appreciate y'all calling in. And
we appreciate it.
It's been fun, and call in anytime. You're always welcome, and that's what it's all about. That's what we're here for, and that's what we do. We love all of you, and y'all have a great night, okay?
All right, appreciate it, Chris. Have a good one, buddy.
All right, thank you, Jim. Thank you, Blake. Appreciate it, brother. So this is Chris Chadwick, Let's Talk Smoke Show. We've had a great show tonight. If you check it out in archives, it's going to be a long show, but it's a good show. We've got a lot of great talent that's called in tonight, a lot of great people that's been on the air with us. And it's just a pleasure to have and be around all these great barbecue people. This is Chris Chadwick for Let's Talk Smoke Show, Barbecue Superstars presentation. Y'all have a great night, and remember to tune in Thursday night, Friday night, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. We've got shows every night of the week. So tune in and join in, call in. We love you. We have a great time with you. And God bless you and have a good night.